actually the dumbest fucking country on the planet, and so are most of the Canadians that voted for this. I'm not even kidding. You guys are so dumb that you don't even realize the police chief is trying to tell you right now to lose all ability for your survival skills. That's the PSYOPs. So if you don't know what's going on, we had a guy break into a home in Welland, Ontario, and rape a five-year-old child. He essayed a five-year-old child while the parents were sleeping. And you want to know what's happened to him? Nothing. He's out on bail.
You just will not believe the depths of the stupidity coming out of Canada, Hamilton, Ontario, more specifically, in a country where crime is running rampant, criminals are running around with real guns and real bullets while the citizens are being disarmed, homes are being broken into left, right, and center. Now the city of Hamilton is saying you can't have security cameras on your own property.
There are 10 security cameras mounted outside of Dan Miles' Hamilton home. He says they've been a valuable tool for crime fighting.
I've actually participated in evidence sharing of 3 homicides on these cameras, over 40 break and enters, multiple home invasions.
So it came as a surprise when the city of Hamilton asked Miles to remove all of his cameras.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. So they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns, they're real guns. They're loaded.
Thank you, Chair. Chief Roskamp, is Canada currently releasing repeat offenders out on bail that are a threat to public safety?
I believe in some situations they are.
In Vancouver, just a couple years ago, there was a report that 40 individuals, prolific offenders, were responsible for over 6,300 incidents with police in just a small period of time. In your estimation, what percent of crime that's being committed in your community is being committed by a small number of criminals, repeat offenders, or individuals already well known to police?
I would say it is above 80%.
And while Eric over here is opposed to having people on house arrest, we do have to acknowledge the fact that our prison system is incredibly costly. Housing somebody within the prison system is a huge burden on taxpayers versus having them on house arrest, for instance.
And now, fast forwarding to 2025, and the government's coughing up billions in settlements, papering over the festering wounds of dispossession in order to slice Canada up into fragmented provinces under a new world order.
Private ownership is in jeopardy.
A precedent that will flow from this case is that sections 23 and 25 of the Land Title Act do not apply to Aboriginal title. Those are not my words. Those are the judge's words, paragraph 3,551.
Another possible outcome of all this land grab activity going on in Canada right now is that if this continues, what's going to happen is Canada is going to break apart in a very short period of time. We're talking a few short years, maybe. And Saskatchewan and Alberta are going to separate, and that will immediately be horrific for our already brutalized economy. And then the rest of Canada is basically up to the up for sale, up for grabs for the lowest bidder. And we'll either be scooped up by China or the United States. I would personally prefer the United States.
It's a floodgate for chaos, leaving now native Canadians wondering if their deed is just a fancy IOU to the ghosts of 1874 as they undergo a private land raping by the New World Order communism disguised as Prime Minister Carney's liberal Canadian politeness.
We should be taking into account the impact of our flying on the planet now. And that's
for pushing out the tax on flying.
You push up the tax on flying, you push up the costs on transport, and that's in part what putting a price on carbon is.
John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale, so take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Journal, folks. We're excited that you're all joining us today. Jam-packed program for you, of course. We're excited to have the Texas Land Commissioner joining me in about an hour and 20 minutes. She'll be here in studio, so we're excited for that. So thank you again for jumping on with us. A lot going on all around the world today, and we're excited to catch you up on things. We are waiting to see the Secretary of War, Mr. Pete Hegseth, is going to be making his way out very, very soon. And we look forward to seeing what specifically he has to say. He's expected to speak any moment now. We do not have the specific details as to what he's going to be talking about, but we are keeping our eyes, of course, on just that. But a lot going on all around the world today. The House is set to potentially end the Schumer shutdown, which is obviously a very, very big deal. Also, we'll be dabbling into the UK as it stops to share intelligence with the U.S. That is according to a new report that we're going to bring to you in a little bit during the show, of course. And we also want to talk about President Trump. He's having a private dinner later today on his schedule. That's all he has on his schedule today. And it will be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So again, we're keeping our eye on a bunch of things as it continues to develop, of course. So we'll keep you in the know. Like I mentioned, though, the House is expected today to vote on ending this government shutdown. Democrats, of course, have been the ones who have been advocating for it. And well, you know, it's never ending. Never ending. So we're going to be following that today. We're waiting for that vote. We're waiting for that, the time specifically. And it looks like Pete Hegseth is talking about a fourth annual Northeast Indiana Defense Summit in Fort Wayne right now. We'll bring that to you when he gets on stage and starts speaking, because you never know what Hegseth is going to say. So, of course, we want to bring you the very, very latest. But yesterday, you may have seen, it was quite the interesting Supreme Court ruling in regards to SNAP, in regards to food stamps. We actually have Pete Hegseth, it looks like, speaking right now. Let's listen in on that, because I want to know if he's going to address any of the questions that I have, and we'll be outlining during the show. Take a listen.
Unnecessarily slows down government contracts will be eliminated. So the bottom line is these changes will move us from a current prime contractor dominated system defined by limited competition, vendor lock, cost plus contracts, stressed budgets, and frustrating protests, always a protest, to a future powered by a dynamic vendor space that accelerates production by combining investment at a commercial pace with a uniquely American ability to scale quickly. We're going to rebuild our defense industrial base into a new arsenal of freedom, which I know is welcome news to everyone in this room. We're committed to becoming a better customer and empowering firms that are ready to take risks, deliver on time, and innovate. So you've got the warrior ethos, rebuilding the military, and finally, of the three internal reforms at our department, reestablishing deterrence. You all know for far too long, especially under the Biden administration, the military looked woke and weak, and it invited aggression on the world stage. Under the Biden administration, our adversaries expanded in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, in the Middle East, in what happened on October 7th, in Southeast Asia, in Central and South America. The debacle in Afghanistan set the stage for a lot of it. By the way, I'm getting an update again next week from our Afghan task force looking into what happened there, and we will be releasing that in 2026. Our enemy knew that they could get away with these things because Biden was feckless. The department looked feckless and was. But under President Trump, deterrence is back. After decades of securing other people's borders in halfway across the world, we're finally securing our own border in our own hemisphere. An invasion of over 20 million people from around the world with no idea who they are is a serious and dramatic national security threat. That's why we're happy to support mass deportations as well of our friends in federal law enforcement. But we've also surged our posture to the southern border from minute one to lock that border down. Our goal is 100% operational control of the southern border, and every passing day we get that much closer. Cartels, trafficking, and death, all of it across the border ends. In fact, for the past 5 months, as I hope you've heard, there have been zero crossings across our southern border. We know who's coming in. And let me tell you, the morale of the troops down there, I've gone down there a number of times to meet with the troops, to be defending our own homeland, securing our own border in a real world context with real authorities to do so, partnering with Border Patrol and Mexican Border Patrol on the other side is motivating. Our men and women down there love what they're doing, and that's why we revived the 1918 Mexican Border Medal to pin on their chest when they're done with a six-month tour down there securing the border. These are not guys, you know, with binoculars who don't have actual authorities. These are, you know, striker platoons with vehicles and optics able to come alongside Border Patrol and assist in arrest of those coming across our border and lock it down. And eventually, more funding will lead to more infrastructure, more border wall, which will require less of a footprint, but even the same amount of a lockdown. We're also taking the fight on the deterrence front to cartels. My advice to foreign terrorist organizations, do not get in a boat. I mean, if you're trafficking drugs to poison the American people, and we know you're from a designated terrorist organization, you're a foreign terrorist and a trafficker, we will find you and we will kill you. No one is better. No one is better at tracking and networking and mapping and hunting than the American military. Honing those skills for many decades in foreign lands, now we're doing it in defense of the American people with all the authorities. We got lawyers on lawyers. All the authorities necessary to do so, treating these terrorists like the Al-Qaeda of the Western Hemisphere. And we're seeing in real time that they're changing their methods and will adapt as they change those methods. But again, another signal of deterrence, locking down the border, taking on the cartels and stopping the poisoning of the American people. A great example as well is Operation Midnight Hammer. What our B-2 pilots did over 37 hours, going all the way from Missouri and back, going into Iranian airspace with, you know, there were 52 refuelers and fighters in front of them, all the maintainers, incredible Americans who maintained the entire thing. But to go into an adversary's country, drop 14 precision 30,000-pound bombs into holes the size of this podium, and then turn around and leave Iranian airspace, and there wasn't a single news article, tweet, or reaction from the Iranian government, gives you a sense of what the American military is capable of. Now, it was one of my favorite moments when we're in the Situation Room and we realized the bombers are out of Iranian airspace and all the targets have been hit successfully, and the president realizes that he gets to announce it before the world finds out, and he just turned to his assistant, we're all there, he goes, get me my phone. And he went, boop, and the world knew. But imagine the power of the signal of that truth, of the fact that the president had said, Iran, you have 60 days, and then on the 60-day mark, bombs dropped on their facilities, destroying Fordow, Esfahan, and Natanz. 60 days to the day, bombs drop. America says we'll do something. We follow through. Iran, he's said from the beginning, Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. You gave them 60 days. They didn't comply. The B-2s took care of business. The world sees that America's word matters. Another example of that that's often forgotten is the Houthis. Since, I don't know, would it be Thomas Jefferson? Our ships have been able to sail at the high seas without us accepting interdiction or pirates or those ships being threatened. The idea that freedom of navigation, American freedom of navigation was sort of taken as a given. Until under the Biden administration, Houthis started shooting at our ships and, I don't know, we shot a few missiles into some huts, but didn't do anything about it, just accepted the fact that we can't sail there anymore. And when President Trump came into office, he said, no, we're going to reestablish freedom of navigation. And so we dropped bombs on the Houthis for 45 days until they cried uncle, and now our ships sail wherever we want. That is a reestablishment of deterrence, that you do not tangle with the United States Navy or Air Force or our people. And if you do, you will get the vengeance of the United States military until we get our way and our ships sail freely. All of these things are reestablishments of deterrence that had to be done given the backsliding of what occurred during the Biden administration. Now, we're also reestablishing deterrence, as the senator mentioned, in the Indo-Pacific and around the world. We're supporting allies and partners out there as force multipliers to strengthen their own capabilities. In March, I took my first trip to the Indo-Pacific as secretary and the first trip to Guam in 20 years from a secretary of defense or secretary of war. Traveled to the Philippines, to Korea, to Japan, to Singapore, to Vietnam, to Malaysia.
All right, that is the Secretary of War, Mr. Pete Hegseth, speaking, as you just saw, obviously. He made a couple of really important points that I think are worth noting and highlighting in case you just joined us now. He's telling us that the Afghan withdrawal, you know, that failed withdrawal that happened under the Biden regime, well, he's going to have that report that the Department of War is putting together. It's going to be available next year. He's expected to receive some of the information, though, personally, possibly next week. He also is warning the drug cartels, those in Venezuela specifically, who are trying to smuggle drugs into the United States. Well, he says, we will find you and kill you. And that is the threat that Pete Hegseth has made good on. So far, dozens of these alleged drug cartel members have been killed. And the Department of War saying they will continue to do just that if they are trying to bring their toxic drugs to the United States. He also took a moment to reflect on the strikes in Iran, saying that the Iranian government didn't even clap back with any type of response in regards to the strikes. So it just highlights how much more powerful our military is over their defense. So that was very, very interesting. We'll keep our ear to that press conference as you guys hear him speaking, and we'll bring you anything else as it continues to develop. But there's a lot going on all around the world today. I want to make sure that we bring you the very latest as well. Today we have a jam-packed program for you. I'll be joined in studio in about an hour with Dr. Dawn Buckingham. She is the Texas Land Commissioner. She's coming here for a really good reason. The drug cartels have tried to smuggle drugs into our country, but they're getting a little bit more strategic. They're creating tunnels to get into the United States now. Well, she's shutting all of that down, and she will be detailing just that for us in just about an hour. Plus, she also is going to be discussing the rare earth minerals that have been located here in the United States, specifically in Texas, and how she's purchasing up land to make sure that foreign countries can't do just that. Our border needs to be secure. When she learned that there was a foreign country looking to purchase up hundreds and hundreds of acres along our border with Mexico, well, she stepped in and made sure to outbid that country. So now the state of Texas owns that land thanks to her, and she's going to bring us the latest in regards to that. So, you know, Dawn Buckingham understands what the fight is all about, and that is really, really important. Not many people understand what's going on right now. Not many people understand how significant the purchase of our land is when it's foreign countries doing just that. And so I can't wait to speak with her in just a few moments. We'll also be joined by Raw Egg Nationalist. As many of you guys know, he's a writer for Infowars.com. He's been working on a couple of very important stories, and he's joining me to break that down too as well in the next hour. I'll also be joined by Mel Kay, who's going to break down the very latest in regards to the Clinton Foundation, because there's a new There's a new letter going out to Congress members and the FBI and Pam Bondi, although they haven't done anything in regards to criminal charges. They are apparently lecturing those in Congress about the very latest they've learned about the Clinton Foundation. So Mel Kay is going to be joining us to discuss just that. Now, many of you guys probably saw yesterday the Supreme Court issued a temporary ruling. It is an extension to block a lower court's requirement for the Trump administration to make full supplemental nutritional assistance program, which is also known as SNAP payments, during this government shutdown. Now, they had until Thursday night, so we look forward to seeing just that. It does not reflect a decision on the underlining legal merits of the case, of course, but this is just a way to make sure that the Trump administration is not forced to cough up any cash again, because they don't even know where they'd even pull in those funds. The White House saying repeatedly that they don't even know where they'd even get those funds from, since the government's not being funded. Since, of course, Democrats led us through the shutdown. Again, though, we are waiting to see how the House votes. The House is expected to vote on this today, which would potentially end the longest government shutdown in American history. We're at day 42, so we're keeping our eyes on to everything. We're going to watch this as the Supreme Court's prepared to rule on this as well. We're going to watch what happens in Congress later today, day 42 so far, folks. All right, let's talk about President Trump, because yesterday was a very upsetting day for those who have voted for the president, because we don't understand what's going on right now. He was very enthusiastic about letting in over 600,000 Chinese students into our colleges and universities. Something, and I actually have to give credit when credit's due, something that Laura Ingraham actually shut down and was going after him for, but respectfully. Well, she didn't stop there, and there's more information that's coming out from her interview with President Donald Trump, and yesterday she released this portion where they discussed H-1B visas, and it has the internet on fire right now. Take a listen.
If you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
of foreign
workers.
You also do have to bring in talent.
We don't have talented people here. You don't have certain talents and people have to learn.
You can't take people off an unemployment line and say, I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles, or I'm going to put
you. How did
you
we ever do it before?
Well, let me just, I'll give you an example. In Georgia, they raided because they wanted illegal immigrants. They had people from South Korea that made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated. It's not an easy thing and very dangerous. A lot of explosions, a lot of problems. They had like 500 or 600 people, early stages, to make batteries and to teach people how to do it. Well, they wanted them to get out of the country. You're going to need that, Laura. I mean, I know you and I disagree on this. You can't just say, country's coming in, going to invest $10 billion to build a plant and going to take people off an unemployment line who haven't worked in 5 years, and they're going to start making missiles. It doesn't work that way.
Okay, so why would we want foreigners making our missiles? I don't know why. Listen, there is, and he has a valid point in regards to our educational system, not preparing Americans enough to be ready for the workforce. But that's the issue. That's what we should be focused on. We should be focused on fixing that. You see, MAGA is all about making America great again. And although he claims to have started that movement, the reality of it is we need to be bettering the American people. The people in this country need to do better. They need to do better. We need higher standards for Americans, and we need to stop importing those in third world countries to come here and do these jobs for us. We don't need them. We don't need them. We need to create our own talent pool. To sit here and brush it off and to say, oh, well, sorry, no can do. We don't have intelligent people who could handle these jobs, make these missiles for us here in the United States, so we have to import. First off, it's a lousy excuse, because we all know that the H-1B visa program itself has been abused by a lot of those companies in Silicon Valley because they don't want to pay Americans. They don't. And obviously, if you're coming in from a country like India, it's a blessing to be brought into the United States to work here. And so you will work and do whatever you have to do to not lose that visa and then be deported back to your country. So these employers are completely taking advantage of the system. We all know just that. And the fact that the president isn't advocating for better schools, better training programs, that's really, really discouraging. Have we given up on the American people? Now, again,
President Trump has done an incredible job on several different platforms, but this one, he's a swinging and he's missing. And it's really, really upsetting to sit back and watch. Now, again, we all voted for him. So when we sit here and voice our concerns, especially on social media, because a lot of people were fired up yesterday about this, it's not an attack on the president. It's that we are criticizing him, and rightfully so. You, the American people, have a right to understand what the heck is going on right now in the White House. We wanted to make this country great again, and that means investing in American workers. If you need Americans to make missiles, guess what? Let's put them through the training programs. I'd rather our taxpayer money go to make sure to ensure that they get free tuition and they go anywhere. Whatever trade school they need to go to, whatever education they need to be provided with, we're okay as Americans with providing that to them. We need to invest in our people, and to sit here and be dismissive and to pretend like we cannot find the labor force here in this country is absolutely ridiculous. According to our own federal government, 42 million people in this country are on SNAP benefits. Why is that? Why is that? How many of those people could we actually force off the SNAP programs and get them to work in our workforce? Give them the tools that they need. Give them an expiration date as to when their SNAP benefits expire and how they need to go and begin finding other jobs, and provide them with training for free. There's ways to go about doing all of this. Sitting here giving up, throwing up the white flags and saying, sorry, we're just going to import new labor is absolutely ridiculous. It has nothing to do with making this country great again. We don't need other countries. We need to make this country strong. It's so pathetic to sit back and listen to that. I understand he's a businessman, and I understand that, yes, there are certain positions. Probably he's right on. But the H-1B visa program has been abused. And enough is enough. How are Americans supposed to compete with H-1B visa and AI? There's no way. There's absolutely no way. You pile that up with 50-year mortgages, it truly highlights the fact that the president is giving up on this country. Can't bring the cost of living down, so we're just going to go out there and side with the banks and give Americans 50-year mortgages? Folks, I'm not ready to throw up that white flag, and I know you aren't either. It's extremely discouraging to hear the president speak like this. This has been a very rough week for the president, and I don't know who's getting in his ear and telling him all these things, but we continue to see those very questionable characters making their way into the White House. And if I had my suspicions, I'd say probably has a lot to do with it. Toxic people seem to have the president's ear, and that needs to end now. This is not what the American people voted for. It's not what we celebrated when he was elected again for a third time. So enough is enough. Enough is enough. And this is extremely discouraging to see the president continue to talk like this, because this is not what we want to see. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to the Alex Jones store, because as of right now, we still have that methylene blue sale going on right now. Methylene blue is buy one, get one free. And then you're also going to get a free hat. Sale ends later today, so make sure you head on over to the website. We don't know exactly when, but head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. This is a great opportunity for all of you at home to stock up on some Christmas gifts. Who wouldn't love an incredible InfoWars hat? I know you would. So head on over to the store, the Alex Jones store, and make sure you grab those items and get a head start on your Christmas shopping. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. We just started diving into the headlines, but there's so much more to catch you up on. So we'll be right back after this quick break with more to discuss.
I'm cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order, not just methylene blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the methylene blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives, not just having a nice hat and spreading the word and meeting my people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts, and I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalist, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftists, out-of-control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and never tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there, but when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free Methylene Blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight, Central Time, at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. That just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support. You kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at theAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. A lot to discuss. We're excited to, in just a few, I guess I'd say like maybe an hour, we're going to be joined by the Texas Land Commissioner, Ms. Dawn Buckingham. Folks, she's an incredible woman. I have the honor of having her on my podcast a little while ago, but she's coming today in studio to discuss a couple of things that are really important here in the state of Texas, like how the cartels are creating tunnels to try to sneak their drugs into the United States. She is fighting back against that. She also prevented a foreign country from buying a plot of land that is right across right along, the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, this is very, very important, of course, to our national security. She stepped in once she realized there was a foreign country looking to purchase it up. So we're excited to have her on the program to discuss just that, because those are topics that are very, very interesting, of course, and ones that we have to know about. It affects the entire country, not just the state of Texas. And so this is really, really important that we update you on this fight. But speaking of that, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about President Trump and his stance on H-1B visas. He did an interview with Laura Ingraham on Fox News, and they aired a clip where he was defending H-1B, saying that we just don't really have the talent pool here in the United States to secure a lot of these jobs. And that's the reason for his outreach to foreign countries and pushing these H-1Bs. But it didn't end there. Just a few moments ago, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, went on Fox News and kind of said, yeah, Trump's plan for visas is just temporary. Take a listen to clip 12.
There's 20, 30 years we have offshore precision manufacturing jobs. And the president's point here is, we can't snap our fingers and say, you're going to learn how to build ships overnight. We want to bring semiconductor industry back to the U.S. There are going to be big facilities in Arizona. So I think the president's vision here is to bring in overseas workers where these jobs went.
Who have skills.
Who have the skills, 3, 5, 7 years to train the U.S. workers. Then they can go home. The U.S. workers fully take over.
So do you understand the concern that some people have? Hey, an American can have that job. Why you give it to a guy from India?
But an American can have that job.
So because, it's specific skills.
Because we haven't built ships in the U.S. for years. We haven't built semiconductors. So you know, this idea of overseas partners coming in, teaching American workers, then returning home, that's a home run.
Gotcha. Mr. Secretary, thanks so much.
Folks, that's a good thing, I think, so far. I mean, if that's what he's truly meaning, which the president was able to say that, because then, yes, we wouldn't be so upset. That sounds fair. If they actually are forced to leave the country, of course. But again, that's not what he said during his interview with Laura Ingraham. And if he would have said that, I'm sure that would have prevented this PR nightmare. I mean, people are really upset. His voters, his base are really upset. And so that's good to hear from, obviously, the Treasury. I want to move on, though, to the turning point brawl that broke out earlier this week. We showed you the footage yesterday. We went over the overview of it. Several people were arrested in all of this. But Andy Ngo has published a tweet, according to his reporting, about a Muslim far-left extremist who was the one who apparently, and allegedly, we should say, beat up one of the Turning Point USA attendees. That's according to Andy. No, he's referring to this individual as apparently his first name is Jihad, which obviously should sound off any red flags in your mind, of course. I don't know why these people are so emboldened to have these names, but they do. He's saying that the 25-year-old is listed as a public health official employee over in California for the Department of Public Health. He is a known rapper, according to Andy No. And he came to the attack wearing gloves, or the other allegations that he's currently facing. Now, again, you're hearing a lot of reports from those who work for Turning Point saying that it was Antifa that was outside causing the largest disruption and causing fights and preventing people from coming into the venue. Yesterday, one of Charlie Kirk's producers did speak out in clip 2 over on Fox News. Take a listen.
Do you think that any of the local officials purposely made it difficult, made it a little bit more dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, Jesse, I do actually. I want to be careful with what I say, but I will tell you, 2 weeks before the event, we had to switch to the university's ticketing system. And so what happens when you do that is it opens it up for far left agitators and protesters, disruptors to grab those tickets. And so what we had happen is that there was about 500 tickets of people that didn't show up, and that's their whole game. They want to grab the tickets and then leave it empty to make it look like we don't have a big growing movement in the wake of Charlie's assassination. And the truth is thousands of people were not able to get into this event because either their tickets didn't work, they got scared away or harassed and attacked and had to flee the scene. And the university's response was, it's not our job to fill your event. Well, we filled it anyways. But there was thousands more that wanted to be there and were unable to make it because of the shenanigans with the ticketing system. And we've had that at other universities. It's actually become a common ploy of, I think, left wingers within the admins that want to disrupt our event, that don't want us to be there. Well, we've got news for them. We're not stopping.
That needs to be the tone. They need to continue on. They need to not allow these people to go after them. And it's interesting because, again, this is something that happened years and years ago. We'll get to that in just a few moments because, of course, for President Trump, there's a tweet for everything. And when this happened years ago, I believe it was like 8 years ago, he actually tweeted about it. But let's talk about what the DOJ is doing right now. We're going to play clip 3 for you because Harmeet Dhillon, obviously, who's over at the DOJ now, she is someone who is looking to go through this matter and investigate it through the civil rights type of microscope right now. She wants to see what did the school specifically do that might have violated these individuals' civil rights? Take a listen to clip three.
UC Berkeley has condemned the violence, promises to take appropriate measures, I guess, against those who violated campus rules. But is that enough?
Well, Laura, thanks for having me so much. It's a pleasure to be here. This feels to me like deja vu all over again. I think it was like 8 years ago that I came on your show and talked about suing UC Berkeley for exactly this type of violent chaos that happened on the campus. And at that time, Berkeley was preventing conservative groups from having conservative speakers and then exposing them, if anyone ever came, to this type of violence. I sued them. I won a settlement, and Berkeley agreed to protect the guests of conservative speakers. And yet here we are. They seem, as Savannah mentioned, be completely unprepared. The Berkeley, local police as well seem to be unprepared, undermanned. They treat it as if it's a both sides problem. Mm. It is not a both sides problem. When a violent mob like Antifa comes and attacks like this, it's what we call a heckler's veto in First Amendment jurisprudence. And given the fact that there has now been a terrorist designation here, the Joint Terrorism Task Force is going to be looking into this together with the DOJ, my Civil Rights Division, and the FBI, and understand what happened here. How did it come to be the case that when Berkeley has noticed that this type of violence occurs on the campus when conservative speakers come to speak, and by Rob Schneider had been scheduled to speak, it was a sold-out crowd of 2,000 people, and less than 1,000 people were there in the stadium because people were intimidated by this violence. So this is not a consequence-free situation. Berkeley has announced, oh, we're so happy that 1,000 people came to hear this. That is not the whole story. The story is that when Sonia Sotomayor comes to speak, when the Dalai Lama comes to speak, the Berkeley campus somehow is able to protect the speaker and all of the people who attend. And when it's a conservative speaker, it isn't. So we have some serious questions and concerns about this, and there'll be a full federal investigation. We've already sent two letters to Berkeley and to the police to preserve their documents so we understand how we came to this horrific situation to make sure it never happens again.
All right, just add that to the list of investigations being looked into by the DOJ. Obviously, I highly respect Harmeet Dhillon, and we appreciate all the work that she does, but so much is falling flat at the DOJ. And although I have confidence in her individually, the rest of them, not so much. There are some great, incredible people over at the DOJ. Unfortunately, though, a lot seems to start up with those people. They try to do their jobs, and then it suddenly falls flat. And that's just the harsh reality of what's going on right now. But as you heard Harmeet say, that they did send over those letters. Nick Sorter did get his hands on a copy of that letter, shared it on his X account as well. And then that's what you see here. So she is telling them to preserve their documents because likely the DOJ is going to begin investigating. And that's what's going on. But it's interesting because back in 2017, President Trump actually tweeted this out. If UC Berkeley does not allow free speech and practices violence on innocent people with a different point of view, no federal funds, ? Where's that guy? We could use him right now. We could use him. Now would be a good time to implement just that. Start pulling back these federal funds. You have all the control. And this is how you force those who are continuously going out there and not respecting conservatives who share these college campuses with them. Well, this is how you back it up. This is how you back it up. The time is now to push back on these issues. And unfortunately, if we don't do just that, well, we are in a lot of trouble. All right, folks, I want to keep highlighting the things we're learning in regards to how bad the lawfare was getting. There was several key players in all of this, obviously, over the last 4 years with the Biden regime. But then if you bring it all the way back to the Obama regime years, a lot was going on. And we're learning more and more and more. Unfortunately, I'm not going to sell you anything right now. The DOJ sounds like it's starting to move his feet a little bit. But again, it's pretty late in the game. It's pretty late in the game. We are learning more, though, in regards to a Trump-appointed federal prosecutor in Miami who has launched a probe into the grand conspiracy by Democrats led by Barack Obama to destroy President Trump's political ambitions. Now, apparently, this investigation, this probe has just begun. It's being led out of the Southern District of Florida right now. They've had dozens of subpoenas go out to 30 Obama officials involved with an investigation into Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. That is according to the New York Times. Again, this special prosecutor has now issued more than two dozen subpoenas, some of those to officials who took part in the Russia, and they say inquiry, but it's obviously like a purge, a hoax they were trying to cook up. So far, they included the ex-director of national intelligence, James Clapper, former FBI agent Peter Strzok, and his lover, ex-FBI lawyer Lisa Page. The launch of the investigation, obviously, two prosecutors, according to MSNBC, have resigned because they'd hate to go after their former boss, Mr. Barack Obama. So again, we're learning more, of course, and according to MSNBC, everyone in that office is on pins and needles. Accountability might actually follow. Again, not much in the way of confidence from the DOJ itself, leadership over the DOJ. Haven't seen much there. I won't sell you a dream. But I will tell you that is good to see. And sadly, we have to strongly rely on a report from the New York Times and MSNBC. So I will not tell you to have high hopes there. All right, let's turn to the latest in the J6 investigations. Congressman Thomas Massie has done an incredible job at trying to get to the bottom of a lot of this. And he's continuing to work on this because most people will tell you, just move on. But there is corruption that needs to be uprooted at this point, and Thomas Massie's on the case. And so he just recently sent a letter last month demanding answers in regards to Ray Epps, and the FBI records show that the agent had video evidence of Epps conspiring to storm the Capitol, yet they closed the case July 2021 saying that there was a lack of criminal evidence. So again, you know, this Ray Epps situation continues to get called into question as to what was Ray Epps doing that day, if he was working for anyone, which he denies. The DOJ reopened the case amid scrutiny from Thomas Massie and top conservatives. And then they charge Epps with a very minimum charge, which was one misdemeanor, which he got probation for, of course. But again, we saw how aggressive the Biden regime's DOJ was getting. So it was quite strange to sit back and watch as they were coddling Ray Epps. Coddling those who were accused of trespassing on the Capitol that day, they got a lot of penalties. I mean, they were given a lot of penalties. It's worth noting, too, there's a lot of footage that has him encouraging those to enter the Capitol. So, yeah, if we're holding everyone accountable, then, yeah, he would be one of those you would expect to also be held accountable. So we're keeping our eye on that. Also, Thomas Massie, we spoke about the report that Steve Baker worked on and that he released on Saturday in regards to who he thinks and who the Blaze thinks is the individual who's responsible for the J6 pipe bombs. Interesting enough, though, Thomas Massie saying, based on my questioning of witnesses, the reporting of Steve Baker and others, this new 11-page whistleblower disclosure, I believe management at FBI has been covering up or has been grossly incompetent. Again, he's requiring answers from Kash Patel. He includes this little snippet of that letter. And again, we still don't know. The FBI seems to be saying that they're still looking for the pipe bomber, even though the Blaze claims that they've ID'd the woman. Again, we don't know specifically if this woman is the one who did place those pipe bombs outside of the RNC and DNC, so we will spare you her name and her photo for now because, again, we do not know 100%. And we don't release information unless I know specifically that this person is responsible for what took place that day. But, again, I've reached out to her. I've called her. I've texted her on multiple occasions, and sadly she has not responded to those requests to speak to her. I want to hear her side. I want to get her side on all of this. Now, again, the FBI telling me that they are still looking for the pipe bomb. All right. Showed you guys that email echoing that they are looking still and they are offering $500,000 if you could provide them with information leading to the pipe bomber. So the FBI sounds like they are denying the Blaze's report. Four of the sources that I've spoken to, three of them specifically, have told me that they do not believe that the pipe bomber that's being named in the Blaze report is accurate. Although Steve Baker defends his report. He says, no, we vetted this. This is what we think. We will continue to follow that, of course. So, you know, we'll keep our eye on it. We'll keep our eye on it. And Kyle Serafin, obviously the FBI whistleblower, also jumping on this as well and backing Steve Baker's report. So it's a toss up. We got two people on both sides, or two sides, I guess I should say, pushing back and forth. We'll continue to bring you the latest as it develops. But Thomas Massie saying that Steve Baker's report has helped him get a new whistleblower to provide them with a statement. All right, let's bring you the latest on James Comey. You know, the guy who's the former FBI director. Well, James Comey is trying his best to push back on the charges that he was recently hit with, and he's asking for them to be dismissed. He claims a prosecutor, Lindsay Halligan, is a joke and says that she's the only government lawyer who agreed to take the case, and that's the reason why she was put into this position. This court filing was made on Monday. The 64-year-old Comey is arguing that the case is political revenge for the FBI's Russiagate probe, and his lawyers say that no real prosecutor would touch this. Trump demanded it anyway, and then place an, this is their words, not mine, inexperienced White House aide in charge to get the results he wanted. Now, her background, she is a Florida insurance company, according to the media. She is also a former Colorado beauty queen as well. She joined President Trump's team back in 2021 as a personal lawyer and now serves as a senior White House staff secretary as well. So that's the latest in regards to that. James Comey looking to get the charges dismissed, saying that she is not a legitimate prosecutor. And we'll see how that pans out for him. I know a lot of legal experts are torn on the matter and say that there might be a valid argument here. Again, we will continue to follow it as it develops. All right, in case you missed it, we're going to have Mel Kay on the show later to talk about this as well. There's a lot of updates, and I'm trying to keep everyone in the know. It's really hard to do these days because all of these lawfare updates, all of the corruption being exposed, I want to make sure you guys don't miss out on anything. There's a report in Just the News that just recently dropped, and it says that AG Pam Bondi and FBI Director Kash Patel have reportedly submitted documents to Congress revealing that the Clinton Foundation took donations from foreign and domestic sources seeking influence. Now, according to Just the News, officials told Just the News that the documents were transmitted to the Senate Judiciary Committee in the recent days. And again, it's listing numerous occasions when foreigners were trying to win over persuasions through the Clinton Foundation. Now, obviously, it's something that Mel Kay has covered extensively. And so for her, she's going to be ready to sound off later in the show, of course, on this. But they're saying a lot of this took place during, in 93 to 2001. And this information was potentially withheld. And so they are calling for justice here. Now, again, I don't know, maybe the statute of limitations up, and that's the reason why you're seeing the AG and the FBI director just kind of pass this on to the Senate and say, hey, take a look at this. Maybe they can't do anything about it anymore. Otherwise, I'd hope that they wouldn't just pass it on to the Senate. I hope they'd file charges. But again, we're learning more and more and more and more. And all it does is it adds a fire to most of us who just want justice. We want accountability. We know what these people did. We've seen it time and time and again play out. And we just want these people held accountable. We just want them held accountable. Let's turn to a little bit of a foreign issue. I think it was a BBC report on this. And we're learning more and more about it. Russia has been trying to recruit those in Africa, those who are living in obviously impoverished conditions, to come and help fight in their brutal war. But they don't know this. They don't know this at all. They don't know this until they actually get up and leave their country and head on over to the region. Many are being lied to, and then when they do find out it's too late, Russia threatens to kill them. The allegations that are outlined in this article are quite severe. At least over 1,400, I should say, individuals from 36 African nations, including Kenya, South Africa, and others, are now fighting with Russian forces. This apparently being reported also by the Ukrainian government officials. Foreigners in the Russian army face the grim ends. A lot of them have been killed immediately once they're brought to the front lines of the fight. And it's almost a certain death. Most are thrust into the meat grinder, assaults, and die swiftly. It's according to the Ukrainian government. They go on to say that a lot of these people are signing contracts, and it is, in fact, a death warrant at this point. But if they push back after making their way over, the government is threatening them as well. So it's really sad to see. There's citing one individual from Kenya, Evan Kibbit, who has came forward, and he's 36 years old and was promised flights to St. Petersburg for compensation by a sports agent. So according to the plane. So again, these are people who are saying that they are being forced into all of this. One person in telling BBC, according to the New York Post, this is the New York Post's report, Russian handlers told him, fight or we will kill you. So Africans are being drafted from Africa to the region to fight in this war. This war needs to end, and I'm in talks with those who are in the region right now, and we look forward to bringing mothers who have lost their children, their sons. We're working out all the details and logistics given the fact that there's a poor, for a lot of these individuals, there's a poor Wi-Fi reception, but I'm trying to bring their stories front and center here in the United States so we could keep pushing to end this brutal, brutal war. You know, Sonia Lobosco was just in the region and she sent me all these videos and it's just absolutely gut-wrenching when you look at the mass graves. Both sides are losing this war from the perspective of that they are losing a generation of men and some women on these front lines, and this fight doesn't need to happen. This fight needs to end. And so looking at the graves, looking at how all these parents, how their siblings are just trying to survive. We'll have one woman on who is now living in Poland, and her story is just gut-wrenching. Her brother is in this fight right now, and they're just praying for his safety. And so we're going to be bringing that to you to remind the American people as to why this war needs to end. Why this war needs to end. It needs to end. I know President Trump is doing his very best. But, you know, Russians and Ukrainians, the innocent civilians who are being forced to fight this war, they are really, truly the ones that are losing out massively, massively to all of this. And so we'll continue to bring you the truth and tell their stories, because I know that their governments don't want them talking about this. But we will hear. And we'll continue to remind the president as to why it is so important for him to be the one to end this war and end it now. All right, we're getting ready for Raw Egg Nationalist to join us in the next hour of the program. I'll also be joined in studio by Dr. Dawn Buckingham. In case you're unfamiliar with Texas politics, she's the Texas Land Commissioner. She has an incredible story. She's pushing back on all fronts in regards to foreign countries looking to purchase land here in Texas along our border with Mexico. She says, no, we're going to buy it and we're going to own that land. She did just that. She's also trying to stop and block the drug cartels from digging up tunnels and trying to bring their drugs, their weapons into the United States. So she's going to be joining us in studio in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. We've got more to discuss. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We've got a lot going on over there right now. It's methylene blue. Buy one, get one free. And you also get a free InfoWars hat as well. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. This sale is expected to end at any time now. So you got to do this right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the info war. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale. Even though it's close to selling out, don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealsonstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
Ready to kick off a second hour of the program. Time just seems to fly by over here. You know, the first hour, we heard from Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, and now we're getting ready to dive into a bunch of other stories. You know, President Trump has been very outspoken in regards to H-1B visas. I'm actually bring you in just a few moments as well an update, because Kristi Noem just spoke on Fox News, and it's something that you're going to want to hear in regards to all of this. She's saying that DHS has been proactively speeding up the visa and naturalization process. That's setting off red flags for a lot of people as well. So we will listen to that clip to hear her perspective on that front in just a moment. But again, I want to remind you, in the second hour of the program today, we're going to be joined by Raw Egg Nationalist in just a few moments. He is standing by because he's working on a bunch of incredible stories right now over at Infowars.com. He's been breaking down the very latest in regards to Adam Schiff, who apparently, according to reports, is getting ready for a potential indictment. Democrats are bracing for that. He'll join me to break down the very latest on that front, as well as the Trump administration launching, on the same time, 175 investigations into the H-1B visa abuse. I don't know how he says it with a straight face after the sound bites we played for you earlier in the show. It's very, very clear that this program is being abused, and it's not just by a couple of 100 employers. This is something that's been going on for far too long. Silicon Valley is clearly the best example of just that, and the excuse that Americans aren't trained up on a lot of these things. Well, it's not going to fly anymore. We can make sure that the American people have the tools needed to succeed at these roles, whether it's what we heard the Treasury Secretary say, start bringing in foreigners to train American workers on these positions and then kicking them out. That we could highly support. Shouldn't take that many years to do just that. But again, enough is enough. We don't need any foreigners in our country. I'm tired of working with countries that hate us to pretend like there's some type of America first agenda there. There isn't. Make America great again. The best way to do so is to make sure our men and women are trained to do these issues, do these jobs, do all the things that we need them to do on their own. I'm all on board with providing them with free training. For whatever type of educational system they need behind them, let's just pay for it. Let's pay for it. Because again, time and time again, we do all of these free incentives for foreign countries, for foreigners, but our own people, we're not investing enough money here. I would love to see all those Doge funds that we heard were cut. Let's see it applied here. Let's start putting a fire behind Americans' behinds and telling them, we're going to provide you with free training. We're going to kick you off of our benefits, our food stamp programs. If you are somebody who is healthy and able to work, we're going to give you the tools needed by a particular deadline to make sure that you're not just going to be left behind. We're going to make you working individuals. And again, a lot of times tell you these H-1B visas are going to high-skilled workers. They're not. They're not. Just go online and search for these positions and read them up on them yourselves. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. So we'll discuss just that in a few moments. Also joining us and getting ready to walk in very, very shortly is the Texas Land Commissioner, Dr. Dawn Buckingham. Folks, she is fighting a war in regards to the drug cartels looking to build tunnels here in the U.S. under Texas, obviously, and to bring in drugs and whatever kind of illegal things that they could do. They're trying to bring it in. And so what is she doing? Well, she's fighting back, and she's going to give us the very latest on that front. We're also going to discuss what she recently did, which I think is incredible. You know, she noticed a foreign country was looking to purchase land right by the U.S.-Mexico border. What did she do? Well, she purchased that land for Texans. Now, again, this is incredible because according to her office, the profits that come in from that are going to be, the revenue is going to be used for school children here in Texas. So this is a great, great thing, and I can't wait to have her here in studio to outline what's actually going on here. She'll be with us in just a few moments. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned and not move and stay right here because we've got a lot underway. Raw Egg Nationalist joining me in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over if you haven't done so already and download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. That is how you stay in touch with us. If that front door locks one day, we're moving over. And you want to stay in touch with us, this is the best way to do so. So don't miss out on any of the information. Head on over and make sure you download the app right this second, alexjonesapp.com. In the meantime, too, if you've got some downtime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It is time to stock up on your Christmas gifts. I just got one of those ugly Christmas sweaters for myself. And I'm looking forward to getting that. But head on over to alexjonesstore.com and stock up before it's too late. We'll be right back in just a moment.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at the alexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale, so take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people, the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and your great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal, second hour of the program. We're kicking off. We've got a lot coming your way today. In just a few moments, I'll be joined by Raw Egg Nationalist. He's been working on a couple of incredible stories over at InfoWars.com that we're going to break down for you. And then in studio, I will be joined by Dr. Dawn Buckingham. Now, in case you're unfamiliar with Texas politics, she is the Texas Land Commissioner. She'll be joining me to discuss the very latest as to how she's fighting off the cartels by making sure they're not building tunnels here in Texas to obviously bring in, smuggle in drugs and other illegal items. She's also going to be detailing a very, very important thing that she just recently did. She recently purchased a plot of land here in Texas for us, for Texans. But here's the big point here. When she realized there was a foreign country looking to purchase that land, which so many governments, so many local officials today don't step in on, she stepped in on and purchased that land because it was very, very critical for her to do just that. It was right along the U.S.-Mexican border. So again, I can't wait to hear from her on that front because there's a lot going on there. Also, we'll discuss rare earth minerals as well. As many of you guys know, China is doing its very best to cut us off from rare earth minerals, although they're taking meetings with President Trump. They are trying their very best to control that industry. President Trump turning to other countries for rare earth minerals. But right here in Texas, we've got some. And so I'm going to ask her about just that. So you're going to want to stay put for that. But let's talk about what Raw Egg Nationalist is working on. If you head on over to InfoWars.com, you could stay in the know because we have so many incredible stories that we put there all the time. We have a team of incredible writers who are working on great stuff. And this is what he's got going on right now. When you head on over, you're going to notice we've got the very latest as to how Democrats are preparing for a possible Adam Schiff indictment. Now, this is all in regards to an investigation over mortgage fraud. So joining me now to break down his latest report is Raw Egg Nationalist. He joins us today. Good morning, my friend. It's exciting to have you back on the program, of course. You've got a lot of big stories, and we're going to go through all four of them that you just recently posted to InfoWars.com. So let's focus on the Adam Schiff story, because this is a big one. You're saying that Democrats are preparing to possibly have an Adam Schiff indictment. Now, that is something that a lot of us on the conservative side will cheerlead for because we've been waiting for this moment. This is someone who obviously has politically targeted President Trump, and him himself, according to allegations he's facing, has committed mortgage fraud. So what are you hearing?
Yeah, so it looks like finally there's going to be an indictment coming through for Adam Schiff. Now, a couple of months ago, I think maybe 6-8 weeks ago, Trump said in a post on Truth Social, look, Pam Bondi, you need to go after Adam Schiff, Letitia James, and James Comey. And we've had indictments now for Letitia James and James Comey. And the, you know, the one remaining person is Adam Schiff. And behind the scenes, he's fundraising furiously. He's desperately trying to raise money for a legal fund. He has, I think, as I say in the article, about $8.6 million in his campaign war chest. But whether or not he'll be able to use any of that for a legal defense, is unclear. But yeah, it looks like, look, it's another case of mortgage fraud, like with Letitia James. They've been cooking the books, lying about the use of property in order to obtain mortgages at favorable rates. But also, it's important to remember, look, Adam Schiff as you said, he's neck deep in all of the Russiagate stuff right from the beginning. You know, this determined attempt to undermine President Trump, to prevent him from doing anything during his first term, to prevent him from getting reelected in 2020 and in 2024. I mean, he is one of the principal actors in this whole, you know, decade-long saga, this decade-long attempt to undermine President Trump and undermine the American First agenda. I mean, and I think it's got a lot of Democrats scared. You know, they're thinking, okay, well, if they go after Adam Schiff too, who is actually, you know, I mean, he's a sitting politician, sitting Democrat politician, an important one. Then who else are they going to go up? Are they going to go after? Because of course, you know, I mean, so many people are implicated in all of this Russiagate stuff, this relentless campaign to undermine Donald Trump. So, you know, if an Adam Schiff indictment does come, then it could really open the floodgates to a lot of prosecutions.
Yeah. And you know what? Americans have had enough of this. We know that these people have committed crimes. We believe that truly. And we are waiting for the DOJ to get involved and really start throwing the hammer down on all these people, because enough is enough. I mean, we've sat back and watched this for far too long. And if we don't hold every single person accountable, it will continue to happen again and again. And Adam Schiff was the one who was really outspoken on the subject matter of this fake Russian hoax. And he had no problem sitting there and trying to slander the president of the United States when him himself, according to reports, was guilty of committing mortgage fraud. And so if he thinks he's not guilty, then let's bring him into a criminal courtroom so he can make that argument. And I think time and time again, we've waited for this to happen. And it's good to hear that we might actually get there. But the reality of it is it's not unheard of. And I heard Adam Schiff trying to defend himself and say, oh, well, it's not unheard of for U.S. lawmakers to have two properties. No, that's totally normal. But if you're lying to secure a lower interest rate or to get certain perks that would be available for somebody who is claiming this as their main residency, then yes, that in itself is illegal. And so that's the key element to all of this. So if he truly thinks he's innocent, then yes, he should be able to make that argument in front of a jury of his own peers. And again, Tish James was able to secure New York Democrats set aside funding for her to fund her legal battle. Now she has an arsenal of attorneys, and it, of course, is at the expense of New York taxpayers. So maybe California Democrats could do something like that for him, since they're using their funds to go after President Trump and defend illegal aliens. They might as well just throw Adam Schiff some cash, since they're all allowed apparently to do just that. So again, this is what's going on right now with Democrats all across the country, and so it's not surprising. But I wanted to drill home this point, because this point in regards to H-1B visas, this is the next article that you have up right now on Infowars.com. We just heard from Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary. I want to play this for you guys as well in regards to H-1B visas. Now, apparently visas as a whole, she's referring to in this clip, are being sped up through our DHS process. Take a listen to what she just told Fox News.
What is the administration's position on these visas?
And we're going to keep using our visa programs. We're just going to make sure that they have integrity, that we're actually doing the vetting of the individuals who come into this country, that they want to be here for the right reasons, that they're not supporters of terrorists and organizations that hate America. And that's what I think is so remarkable, is under the Trump administration, we've sped up our process and added integrity to the visa programs, to green cards, to all of that. But also, more people are becoming naturalized under this administration than ever before. More people are becoming citizens because we're not just streamlining and building some processes back into our immigration policies. We're also making sure that these individuals that are coming into our country and get that privilege, that they actually are here for the right reasons. The Biden administration let thousands of terrorists into this country. They opened the southern border. They abused our asylum programs, abused our protective programs and visa programs, and we fixed all of it. It's remarkable what President Trump has done, and it's because he's a great leader. He's a visionary, and this man is going to go down as a legend in history as our greatest president ever.
All right, I know most Americans don't like the idea of bringing in more immigrants, even if it is through the legal process. She's saying that she's speeding it up. I'm going to reach out to DHS for further comment on that to get some numbers, as well as our immigration services as well. I think it's important for Americans to understand what she means by that. But you have a story up on Infowars.com in regards to investigations. Close to 200 of them have been launched in regards to those who are abusing the H-1B visa process. What's going on there?
Yes, yeah. So this was announced over the weekend that there are 175 open investigations into companies that have been deliberately abusing the H-1B system. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, that was a troubling video, I think, that video of Christine Erm. You know, there's a lot of mixed messaging coming out of the Trump administration at the moment about H-1Bs. If you're on Twitter and, you know, you're following the discussion, then you'll know that a lot of people are confused and angry and wondering really what's going on. I mean, you know, the crux of the matter isn't about naturalization. It isn't about citizenship. You know, the big H-1B debate that happened at Christmas last year, you know, that drew in Elon Musk and ended up with Vivek Ramaswamy being kicked out to the sort of outer darkness of Ohio to run for governor rather than being at the center of DOGE with Elon Musk. That wasn't about the fact that not enough H-1B visas are being converted into, you know, naturalization papers. That wasn't the point. The point was that H-1Bs are being used by companies, especially these big tech companies, to ship in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of foreign workers to do jobs that Americans are more than qualified to do, but at a lower rate. So, you know, these companies, Microsoft, Amazon, Tesla, X, you know, they're saving money, basically. You know, it's a cost saving measure. They can get the tech coders, whatever, at a lower rate. So it's never been about naturalization. And in fact, there's a good video that I commented on my Twitter feed, Palmer Luckey, who is, you know, a big tech guy, saying, look, if only you knew what's really going on with the H-1B system in the US, it's basically being used to import a slave class by big tech. That's what they're doing. They're importing a slave class at the expense of Americans because they want to get the work done cheaper and they're not prepared to pay Americans the wages that they should be paid. So it's very, very strange, very troubling messaging from Kristi Noem and from other members of the Trump administration at the moment about the H-1B issue. It's like they've forgotten what it's about and like they've forgotten what happened at Christmas when people got so upset about H-1B visas. So, I mean, hopefully there'll be some kind of course correction and a more suitable America First message and policy will emerge.
Yeah, well, that's what we're waiting for. And I think that's really important that we get just that. I'm reaching out for comment, just sent over an email, actually, to ask for the specific numbers there, because I think it's really important for the American people to understand what does she mean by this. And I don't know, and I want to be fair and balanced, if she has those numbers. If she doesn't, we could turn to Immigration Services as well and reach out for that. So we look forward to bringing our audience that, of course, and it will be available, as always, on Infowars.com. But you have another story up there that I think is important, and it has to do with BBC. BBC ran footage of President Trump on January 6th, misleading their audience because it was heavily edited. And recently, the BBC president, I believe it was, or the director, just had to resign. Now, President Trump is threatening potentially a massive, massive lawsuit. What's the latest on that front?
Yeah, this is a very, very interesting story. So last year, the BBC broadcast a documentary about January the 6th, about Donald Trump, in the run-up to the actual election, in the run-up to the US election, you know, it was November the 5th. Now, it turns out, after a Daily Telegraph investigation last week, or the week before, I think, that basically what happened is the BBC journalists stitched together two parts of Donald Trump's speech that were 50 minutes apart in order to make it look like Trump had told his supporters, go to the Capitol, storm the Capitol. And then they also spliced in footage of people going to the Capitol after Trump had said those things that was actually taken from before Trump even made his speech. So it's just this totally, totally deceptive editing that's taken place, brazenly lying about Donald Trump, about what he actually said and did on January the 6th, 2021. Now, so this has all come to light. The director general has had to resign. So that's the head honcho of the BBC. He's had to resign. And the head of news has had to resign as well. And this is totally unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened in the corporation's history. And as I say in the piece that I wrote that's up on the site, and that's it's an opinion piece, you know, it's a detailed analysis piece. I say, you know, it's actually hard to see how the BBC's reputation at this point could sink any lower. I mean, its reputation was already in the gutter, you know. The BBC defended and shielded notorious paedophile, maybe the most prolific paedophile in Britain, Jimmy Savile, for decades, and allowed him to continue abusing hundreds, maybe thousands of children. So, you know, I mean, the BBC's reputation was in the gutter already, but now they've actually deliberately lied in order actually probably to try in a kind of modest way to interfere in the US election. So, I mean, this is serious, serious stuff. And it gets even more serious because Trump is now saying he's going to sue them, and he's going to sue them in Florida, I believe. And he's suggested the figure of $1 billion. Well, one thing I didn't know actually is that the BBC has a large amount of assets in the US. So the BBC's got a lot of money tied up in the US. So actually, potentially, Donald Trump could do them a serious, serious amount of damage. And, you know, part of my conclusion or part of the analysis in this piece that I wrote, I say, look, the BBC in Britain is like, it's like the Soviet Union's propaganda arm, Pravda. That's the function that it basically serves in modern Britain. And so actually, by taking the fight to the BBC, by potentially suing them for $1 billion and actually doing them serious harm, Donald Trump would actually be making a decisive intervention, actually, in the long-suffering British people's quest for freedom. So I think it's actually a positive development. And I say in the article, look, I really do hope Donald Trump milks the BBC for every penny that it's worth. And then maybe finally the BBC will stop milking the British taxpayer.
Yeah, and that's important too. Yeah, so many people who I know who are across the pond really despise the BBC because it's such propaganda, and they don't do actual journalism over there. I think it's fascinating, though, to see how this story has panned out so far. You know, most of the time you don't see those at the very top of these media outlets held accountable and forced out. Usually these are like the lower level positions where they say, okay, the producer has been tossed. But to see what's happened here over at the BBC, I think is very, very interesting, and I look forward to seeing if President Trump files that lawsuit. I think he is going to file it, and he should. And all this money just keeps going to that ballroom that he's building over at the White House, too. So he might as well force the BBC to also be an unofficial sponsor of his ballroom. We look forward to seeing that. But he has a valid point. I mean, the fact that these media outlets could be so bold and do that to the President of the United States, and obviously as he's running for re-election, too, but this is just out of control, and this is really what we're up against, not just our own media, but it's the media abroad, and we look forward to bringing our audience that update when one does come available. Before you go, I wanted to go to your roots, because you are a big, we say Maha over here, but you are a big Maha supporter, and this is your original beat these days. So you have another website, or you have another article up on the website in regards to a common pesticide that is being linked right now to causing hormone issues in men, specifically damaging testicular tissues and reducing their sperm counts. This is a new study that has just been released. Break this down for us.
Yeah, so this is another worrying study about the effects of common chemicals on health and fertility in particular. Now, this is something that I speak about a lot. You know, it was the subject of the Tucker Carlson documentary, The End of Men, that I was in 2022 with RFK Jr., but the pesticides in question in this particular study are called neonicotinoids, and they're quite a new class of pesticides. They've really come to prominence in maybe the last 20 years, probably the last 15 actually, but they're used on everything now. I think I say in the article, you know, 90% of corn in the US is treated with neonicotinoids, 50% of soy. So they're used everywhere, and they're on produce, you know, non-organic produce, you're likely to find neonicotinoids. Well, this new study suggests that actually, you know, they have really very, very serious effects on male fertility. So male fertility is already going down the can. And that's, you know, that's the subject of the Tucker Carlson documentary that I was in, and the subject of my new book, The Last Men, Liberalism and the Death of Masculinity. You know, male fertility is in free fall. Sperm counts, sperm quality, testosterone levels, you know, it's all going down the pan. And it's exposure to chemicals. It's exposure to harmful chemicals. It's lifestyle factors as well, like obesity, but it's also exposure to harmful chemicals. And so now we're learning, look, yet another class of very, very common chemicals that most people can expect to be exposed to on a daily basis can actually destroy testicular tissue, for example. I mean, and that's bad. That's really bad. So unfortunately, it's yet another thing to worry about. But there are simple things that you can do. You can switch to organic produce. That's probably the main thing that you can do. And actually, one of the problems with these neonicotinoid pesticides is that they penetrate very deeply into produce. So it's not just enough, say, to, you know, wash an apple and you know, you wash the skin and the neonicotinoids are gone. No, they're actually inside the flesh of the apple itself, where you can't get rid of them without destroying the apple. So the best thing you can do is, in this case, is to buy organic, and that will reduce your exposure significantly. But it's just yet another reminder that, you know, we're subject to so many different toxic influences in our daily lives, and they are having serious effects on our health. And so we have to get serious about them if we actually want to be healthy again.
Yeah, well, we do need to get serious about this because the American people need to fix these issues. I mean, it's enough is enough. I mean, the infertility issue here is just really depressing on how many people are struggling these days. And it's all intentional, of course. We all know that this is obviously a part of a global effort. And we're going to continue to follow this, of course. But you're doing an incredible job. We want to thank you for just that. Again, folks, he did mention his book. It is available right now for pre-order on Skyhorse. It's The Last Man's Liberalism and Death of Masculinity. It is now available, again, hard copy. You can purchase it over at Skyhorse. There's a link also on your Twitter page. It's pinned to the top. So make sure you head on over there and do just that. Thank you for joining us again, as always, my good friend. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and you're doing incredible work over at Infowars.com. Thank you for being here, Raw Egg Nationalist.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks, I'm getting some breaking news in when it comes to what's going on right now in our government shutdown. We're learning more and more. Specifically, though, we're learning that the new funding bill, which is expected to be voted on tonight by House Republicans, allows for senators to sue the Biden FBI and Jack Smith for spying on Senate Republicans. Of course, they're looking out for themselves. In this, though, apparently each senator can get $500,000. Yes, that's what's in there. It is on page 217 to 229 in the new funding bill. This is according to Fox. This was just announced, saying that the senators can sue the federal government using taxpayer money if federal law enforcement seizes or subpoenas their data without notifying them. So again, yes, I don't believe that this should be happening in the first place, but who pays up the funds? Well, you and I. Now we'll have to dig through that, and I will sift through those pages myself once we get it. But again, folks, they care more about themselves than you, the American people. I mean, so many Americans were legally spied on by the Biden FBI and DOJ, and you're not getting $500,000. In fact, the DOJ is asking J6ers, or is asking a court, to just completely reject and toss out a lawsuit that was brought on by a group of J6ers, because they say they have sovereign immunity when it comes to constitutional claims. So they're looking out for their fellow senators, not for you, the American people, thus far. All right, folks, we have more going on in just a few moments. Dr. Dawn Buckingham, the Texas Land Commissioner, will be joining me in studio in just a moment. We look forward to having her here, because there's a lot to talk about there. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, because for a very limited time, a few more hours, methylene blue, it's buy one, get one free. Plus, you get a free InfoWars hat. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right this second, and make sure you stock up. Now is the perfect time to do just that. Head on over to the Alex Jones Store right now.
Cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order
not just methylene blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at theolivestonestore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the methylene blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives, not just having a nice hat and spreading the word and meeting other people? That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts, and I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalists, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftists, out-of-control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and ever tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there, but when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you, and the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free methylene blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight, Central Time, at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. It hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support, you kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We have the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and then who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at theolivestonestore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to dive into, well, there's regards of those foreigners who are looking to purchase land here in the United States, here in Texas specifically. It is a key issue, but it's also a key issue to fight back against the drug cartels. As many of you guys know, under the Biden regime allowed so many of them to flood into our country, to take advantage of the United States, and to bring their toxic, poisonous drugs in. Now, President Trump is obviously pushing back, and we heard Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, obviously defending that and saying that they will kill those who are looking to poison Americans. Just a few moments ago, he made that announcement, of course. But we need to fight on all fronts, specifically the cartels who are trying their very best to get the drugs in. And they are doing just that by trying to create tunnels. Now, there are very few politicians willing to call it out, of course, but we've got one here who is looking to do just that. Welcome, Dr. Dawn Buckingham. It's great to have you here in person. For those at home right now who are unfamiliar, you are the Texas Land Commissioner, and you are one of our great fighters here in the state of Texas. So thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
It's great to be on with you today, and hello to all your listeners.
Yes, well, we're very excited to have you here because when I saw this tweet go out, I was very proud of you because the cartels are actively trying to get their drugs into our country. And one of the ways that they're doing it now that we have a secure border is to sneak it in through the tunnels. And you have done a great job at pushing back on that front. So give us the very latest on that.
Well, we are always looking out to see how we can better defend Texas and our entire country. And so you're exactly right. Under the Biden administration, when they could just walk across and do whatever they wanted, that was easy. But now they're having to go underground, so to speak. But it doesn't matter what crevice they crawl into, where they try and hide. We're going to find them. We're going to root them out. And we're going to stop their progress into this country in any way possible that we can.
Yeah, and I love that. You know, you guys actually posted a photo on your X page of what one of these kind of tunnels was looking like, the activity. This image that we have up on their screen right now, what exactly are we looking at here?
Well, we're just looking at where it makes an easy place for people to come and go. They come in adjacent to a ramshackled structure. Mm-hmm. They hide the entrance and the exit so that it can't be seen from aerial views. You know, the General Land Office is the mapping entity for the state. We also have aerial observation on our property. And we have hundreds of thousands of acres on the border. So once we knew that this was going to be a real possibility and is happening, then we're going to do everything we can and partner with whoever we can to be sure it stops.
Yeah, and it needs to stop. And we're glad that you're doing just that. Obviously, most Americans are familiar with the cartels bringing drugs into our country, but are there other things that they're trying to bring in?
You know, the cartels make way more money off the humans that they traffic than the drugs. And it is horrible what happens to these people. They are universally sex trafficked. They have to live in the corners. They are abused terribly. It is a terrible situation. And we want to end human trafficking. Modern day slavery is seeing the biggest increase it's ever seen. And it's completely unacceptable. And everyone should actually be outraged about it. And so we're going to continue to fight. Of course, the drugs are deadly. They kill our friends, our children, our friends' children. So many terrible things happening. So we want to stop that. But it's also the human trafficking that's really the bigger evil here.
Yeah. And I think that's the key point to this. You know, later in the show, we're actually going to play a clip of, thankfully, there was a group of children and women who were rescued in Palm Beach County in Florida who are being trafficked and were being trafficked. And they just recently, the local sheriff's office did rescue those kids. But again, this is happening all over the country. We know that there's thousands of children missing, sadly, because the Biden regime just didn't care. They totally allowed these kids to get lost in the system, didn't validate where these kids were going to. And unfortunately, now the rest of us are praying for them, but we are also trying to advocate for them because there's I know the number 300,000 is floating out there, but DHS is actually telling me that it's actually way north of that. They're thinking around 450,000 children were brought into this country over those 4 years. And so finding them is a top priority for this administration. And so it's great to see that you guys are also fighting back to make sure that these tunnels aren't popping up, of course, all across the state of Texas. But I want to talk about another fight that you guys have going on right now. You learned, according to your office, you learned that there was a foreign country possibly looking to purchase a plot of land here in Texas. Now, this area is very strategic because it's right along the Rio Grande, and it's very important that we note that this is land that possibly could have allowed any foreign country or whoever was purchasing it to bring things across the border. And so you guys stepped in and you purchased this land. You purchased over 350,000 acres. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's just fun. You know, if you want something done, you ask a mom and a surgeon. You know, busy ladies get things done, especially busy conservative ladies, as you know. We were speaking about it earlier. But it was a big piece of property. We've seen previously where Chinese nationals have purchased large pieces of property adjacent to Air Force bases, built a landing strip that would land any military jet on it, built a wind farm, tried to tie into a grid to try and potentially crash our grid, which we, of course, passed laws that made that individual not be able to tie into our grid. He's now having to sell that property, which is a win in and of itself. But then this 354,000 acres came on the market, and we realized that we had a Chinese national interested in it as well. And the only thing I could do since We have purchased the property. Of course, the law has gone to effect, disallowing Chinese nationals to buy property. But in this day, that was not the case. And so we stepped in, disrupted the sale, and purchased that property. And so now that property generates revenue for the school children of Texas instead of for China, being a strategic advantage. And on top of that, I think we're going to talk about this in a minute, there just might be some rare earth minerals on that property as well. And so we're doing lots of great things there.
Well, that's what I love about this, because it's a double loss for China, because China is doing its very best to capture the rare earth mineral industry itself, and President Trump also trying to get other countries involved so we have other resources that we could use instead of just China. I think that's really impressive that you guys have done just that. I like also the fact that this is now generating revenue for school children. Can we talk about that a little bit? Because that's something that needs to be celebrated.
Sure. The Permanent School Fund in Texas is the oldest and largest sovereign wealth fund for education in the entire country. It's almost $60 billion based on our state lands, because when Texas was a sovereign nation and joined the Union, we retained our unowned lands, unlike the territories that joined the states. And so that's 13 million acres today, makes me the largest mineral owner in the state. And we produce the majority of oil and gas, and that's generated about $6 billion from that fund over the last 2.5 years. And so we are just constantly looking at ways, one, to be good stewards of the land, two, to protect this Texas that we know and love, but three, being sure that we're generating revenue for the school children of Texas.
This is incredible, because I don't think most people even understand how important that is. But the fact that you guys were able to pull this away from possibly the CCP threats and then now make it into a stream of revenue income for school children here is highlighting the what the government should be doing. We should be protecting the people while also protecting children, helping funding their education. So this is a slam dunk for everyone involved in all of this. I also know that you guys are doing an incredible job here in Texas at building the border wall as well, and this also plays into that angle as well. What is the update on Texas's efforts to continue to build the border wall?
Well, efforts continue. Of course, now we have a great partner in the federal government. We see that the border crossings are down to a trickle, if any at all. It is so exciting, and it just backs up that narrative of our entire time during the Biden administration, that is the federal policies that drive illegal immigration. And so with that change and Trump, we're super excited to have that partnership. Really glad to have Mike Banks where he is, Kristi Noem, all rock stars, so great. But yes, we're facilitating in any way we can. We're excited about getting reimbursed for the billions of dollars that Texas spent building the wall in the Biden administration's complete failure to protect our border. But where they were failing, Texas was going to step in. But we have to stay vigilant. You know, the administration could change again. That's always possible. We've seen it change over the last several decades. And so we have to be ready to fight. And we have to look for the ways that the cartels, when they get ingenious, when we think about new ways to bring drugs and trafficked individuals across our border, we need to put a stop to it every way we can.
Yeah, and I think it's really important because they are actively looking to do just that. And it's one of the biggest threats that we have right now in this country. And I'm thankful that you guys are taking this threat seriously, as well as President Trump, trying to stop that from happening. I want to talk now about rare earth minerals, because China is not our ally, folks. And I don't know how many times to say this, but they are trying to grip the rare earth mineral industry. Now, I know for when I used to work over at another media outlet, they'd always say, oh, it's such a boring topic, don't go there, Brianna. But it's one of the most important ones, because if you have a cell phone, you need these minerals for you to have your phones. And so this is something that China has done an incredible job at kind of getting a good grasp on. But right now, President Trump understands just that, and he is trying his best to get us these same type of rare earth minerals from other countries. And he was doing that throughout when he was doing his tour in Asia, also making China commit as well to giving us more access to these things. But right here in Texas, I hear that there's a lot of rare earth minerals here that we could try to utilize. What is all of that about?
Well, we believe that we have the largest and most complete set of rare earth minerals not under China's control in the entire world. And getting back to why it's important to retain your surface rights to buy land, to retain minerals. A few years ago, if you decades ago, the General Land Office was actually trying to sell this property. They couldn't even sell it for minimal amounts of dollars an acre, because it's in a super remote part of West Texas. And lo and behold, it turns out it's probably going to be the most valuable deposits of rare earth minerals in our entire country, and going to be so critical for our independence. And you're exactly right on the cell phones. They have over 20 rare earth minerals in them, in each and every one. Some jets can't fly without some of these minerals. They are incredibly important. The problem is the processing. Wherever they're processed, they do create a Superfund site, which is an issue. And the only place to process them up until today was, of course, China. I was not going to send any of our ore over to China. So I put out the call a couple years ago and said, hey, you guys are going to have to figure out how to process it domestically. So USA Rare Earth Minerals is our tenant on our property. They're the ones developing those minerals. They have some exciting announcements and an amazing new lady CEO, of course, because she's getting the job done. But we're just really excited to have that partnership. We're very excited about two things, right? Energy independence, food independence, rare earth mineral independence is super important for our country, and we want to be a part of that. Two, we're, again, funding education for the school children of Texas. And three, we're setting the pace and putting China in their place, and we're going to continue to do it.
And I love to hear that. You know, there's a lot of pushback when it comes to digging up rare earth minerals here in the United States that a lot of the environmentalists have, and they try to say that it's not something that we should be digging up here. What are some of the environmental concerns that you hear of? And then I'll let you debunk all of that.
Oh, my gosh. That's just so laughable.
I know.
Because in the same breath, they also talk about their solar panels and their windmills, which have tons and tons of rare earth minerals in them, and then leach those toxic minerals when they're in their native form in those, when you have a big hailstorm in Texas and it wrecks a bunch of solar panels. Guess where all that rare earth mineral toxic stuff goes down into the ground. So the environmentalists can kiss my, oh, sorry. But I'm kind of teasing, but anyway, we're just excited about it. We think it's going to be really important. We are making great strides on the processing. And we're looking at a lot of recycling efforts. A lot of the tailings of former mines have those rare earth minerals in them because they weren't a thing 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's kind of coming into its own now. And so we're looking at lots of recycling efforts with being as environmentally as responsible as we can, because of course we have to be good stewards of the environment, but we all need the rare earth minerals. I mean, if you've got 20 plus in your phone, if you've got however many in their solar panels that they love so much, jets need them to fly. We need them to basically do everything that we do every day. They're really important, and we need to process them here.
Yeah, and the thing is what I'll never understand their argument is they allow countries like China to control this industry, but China doesn't even care about any type of regulations. Here in the U.S., whether it's oil or this, I mean, we could regulate it to make it as clean as possible, and it's safer, and we're also keeping it here. And they don't even want to talk about the transportation, bringing it into the United States, how much fuel that burns. I mean, it's an absolute joke with these fake go green activists, and so I think that's pretty laughable when they do make these claims. Before you go, though, I wanted to talk to you about your re-election, because I know you're up for re-election, obviously. Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, just endorsing you. Talk a little bit about that. Why are you looking forward to having another term?
Oh, my gosh, I love this job. You know, most people have no idea what this job is. But the General Land Office, I said, we've talked about, steward 13 million acres. We do everything coast. We're currently administering $14 billion in disaster recovery, another $1 billion in flood mitigation, really important right now after our July 4th floods. We do all kinds of veteran benefits. We run the Alamo. So literally every day I get to stick up for the Texas that I know and love. And we are in stride. We are going strong. And I'm super excited about our reelection. Actually, we're going to leave from here and go file for that reelection. So we're really excited about that. Super excited to have Senator Cruz's support. And it's just going
to
be fun.
Well, listen, I look forward to supporting you in your reelection campaign, of course. And I know Texans are as well, because you've done an incredible job thus far. So we look forward to this, just that. Dr. Buckingham, thank you for joining me today. You're an incredible woman, not only, you know, helping obviously with Texas as a whole, but a doctor as well. You keep yourself busy these days, and we appreciate just that.
God bless Texas. Thank you.
Well, thank you, folks. In case you didn't know, and you didn't follow me on X, recently I started releasing little clips, little snippets. I was in Fort Lauderdale last week. That's why I wasn't here covering this show. Well, I joined the ladies over at Her Take, and this is just a little snippet in clip 11 on how that discussion went in regards to the Pentagon press passes that I've officially been granted. Take a listen.
What you're seeing right now is a list of everyone who signed on to the pledge and everyone who hasn't. And as you can see on the right, there's a whopping one organization, One American News. What exactly is this pledge, and what is Secretary Pete Hegseth asking the press corps to do? Okay, so Hegseth is saying that people who want to report on the grounds of the Pentagon can only report what the Pentagon has explicitly approved. And I think you got, Brianna, I cannot wait to get your take on this.
Yeah.
Newest organizations from both sides of the aisle have said, no, we're not going to do that because we don't want to be reduced to stenographers. We want to do real reporting, which is sometimes reporting on the things that the Pentagon, that the new Department of War, doesn't want us to report on. I'd love to get your take on this, especially since you're in the fray yourself. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I just recently got approved to be one of the members of the media now that they've made these changes. And I know everyone at first was like, this is crazy, this is insane. I read through it because they asked me to sign it, and I had no issue with it. What's happening here is they're not asking you to only go through approved talking points that they've put out there for you. They just don't want people wandering around the Pentagon and kind of unsolicited grabbing information from people who work there. So what do I mean by that? Well, I was kind of shocked to find out that the journalists were allowed to walk and freely roam around the Pentagon and go into certain different places that I had no idea that they were allowed to go into. So what this is doing now is you have to, number one, display your credentials, which I would have no problem with because when I was working over Major League Baseball, we always had to have our credentials on at all times. Number two, you could only go to like authorized areas. If there's an area where you want to go, you have to ask for permission. And that I'm also okay with because we just learned that this week, or last week I should say, that over at the White House press pool, according to the White House comms team itself, there was a couple of reporters who were secretly recording video and audio along their office space over there without their permission. And so they also had their ear to the doors, what I'm being told, and the wall itself to listen to the press secretary have conversations, which obviously they weren't privy to in the first place. So I understand from that angle. Now, here's the thing. I know the media outlets all sat there and they were very emotional about the decision because once they heard that I was approved, I know they started jumping on me for this. But the reality of it is I'm a First Amendment advocate, absolutist at this point. They can't stop you from publishing anything that is that's not classified. So if it's something that's available that you're allowed to do, they're okay with you doing that. You could actually sue them if they pull your credentials for, let's say you publish a story that they didn't like that you published, and then they yank your credentials back. You could go to court and sue them for that because they can't do that. It's called free press. So I think a lot of the journalists were upset, but I don't think that they truly understood exactly what it meant. It just means you can't be walking around talking to people who work at the Pentagon, get information from them, and then use it without even them knowing that they're talking to a journalist because you don't have your credentials on, and then use it in a story. So I understand that backing in itself. I understand why they're doing that. Mm-hmm. And the comms team, these people aren't evil. They're not trying to control the messaging. These people, whenever I have a question for them, they're quick to respond, even if it's something that might not look good on their part. I mean, I've been very critical of the Pentagon. Three different times I've reported on something that was not positive for Pete Hegseth, and they still asked me to come on board.
Yeah, I just want to say something before I ask you ladies your thoughts. I was one of the very first Democrats to come out and unequivocally say, let's give Pete Hegseth a chance. I support his candidacy. Mm-hmm. I caught so much flack for that. So let me say, Pete and I also have the same lawyer. I love this guy. I really do. But I have to say, I disagree with him on this, okay? The American people deserve to know what's going on in the halls of power. And I also want to address one argument that you specifically made, and that is going into unauthorized areas or not showing their press pass or not going, walking freely. They were never allowed to do that in the first place. Someone already debunked that. This is not a new practice. No one has the right to just go into areas of the Pentagon without authorization.
Right.
This is long-standing policy that they can only go into specifically authorized quarters.
Linda, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, look, the one area where the Trump administration is receiving the most criticism from its own base is the area of foreign policy for obvious reasons. I mean, he was elected specifically because he promoted himself as the anti-war candidate. And as soon as he got elected, you know, it seemed as though he was in the pocket of Israel. He's ramping up for a war with Venezuela. Some are arguing that it's just a psyop, but obviously we've been sending more and more military assets there. And whatever ends up happening with Venezuela, the point here is that there's been a lack of transparency from the Pentagon. And the whole reason why we have press is to hold people in positions of power in our government and in corporations accountable for their actions. I feel that this is a power grab and a way to essentially shut the press out from being able to report on what's happening in the halls of power, particularly in the one area where the Trump administration is getting a lot of pushback from his own base.
Yeah, can I jump on that? So ultimately, the corporate media for a very long time has not been the pushback when it was the Biden administration.
No, it hasn't. It's been very much in favor of the war machine. You're right.
Well, and when Lloyd Austin went missing for, I think it was over a week when he was having the surgery, mm-hmm. not many people pushed back on that. And
nobody
I thought that was
did.
An absolute
And they should have.
And they should have.
Right.
I think that they're going to have access to what I was told. They're going to have access to appear remotely at these mm-hmm. press conferences and still get to ask those questions. And they could also apply for guest passes as well. So they could come in one day if they need to and still go to the Pentagon. So they're not totally being blocked out in that sense. They're just being asked to agree to these terms. And again, if they try to shut you out later on, mm-hmm. you have a right to sue.
Yeah,
and
right. How many people have the resources to actually wage a forceful lawsuit?
Big corporations definitely do have that. The reality of it is they allowed the media, under Joe Biden, they allowed us to be shunned from being in the room. There was no access. When I reached out for comment from the White House on several occasions,
I'm sorry.
They ignored. Well, thank you. I mean, it's just the part that gets really frustrating with me is their focus right now. I know it is because the New York Times, The Guardian, they've all reached out for comment about me getting credentialed. And I've broken stories that don't side with the conservative side either, and they do come after me for that. But I was the one who broke the Tulsi Gabbard story about Tulsi Gabbard being added to the TSA terror watch list.
Yeah.
All the
very important stories.
Thank you. Well, you know what's crazy? There were so many mainstream outlets who knew about it, but they didn't run the story because they didn't want to be on the bad side of they want to be the bad side of the Biden administration.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
I think there's a bigger problem with that. I think there's a bigger problem with our corporate media, mm-hmm. legacy media, actually providing cover for the powerful more
than
anything else. Yeah. So
that's why you need balance.
You need
everyone in the room.
I agree. I totally agree with that. But you know, you can't let the bad actors paint a picture of the media overall or persuade you to go along with the government in honestly engaging in behavior that I think is meant to silence the media.
Well, here's my thing. So they asked me to come and be a part of their media team. I did 3 different times I have gone after Headset, but not like aggressively, but being mm-hmm. respectfully critical. I went after him for that Qatar official who he sat with and met with. I didn't like that about the air bases, and I was public about that. I also went after him for, and again, this was all respectfully, went after him for leaving. There's one official who was a part of Lloyd Austin's cabinet who is still working there, and mm-hmm. he was trying to promote him to chief of staff.
Really?
Yes.
Exeth was?
Yes, but here's the thing. The White House shut it down. Mm-hmm. This was, I forgot what outlet published it, but the White House shut it down. I verified it because before I run anything from the mainstream too, I always reach out to close sources, and I was told mm-hmm. from current employees, these weren't disgruntled employees, that yes, that reporting was accurate. So I vetted it before I actually went out there and backed that reporting.
Yeah.
Then there was the other reporting about the 3 leakers, mm-hmm. Which he wasn't very happy about either. But I truly believe that those people were not leaking, and I reached out to everyone for comment to get fair and balanced coverage on it. So I love that
report.
Yeah.
Thank
I read
you
that.
You have been
Thank
doing.
You.
So it was very interesting to sit down with those ladies. They were all extremely kind and obviously opposing views on a lot of very interesting topics, as you probably all at home know. And it's cool. I think it's really cool, the fact that we were all able to sit down and have a conversation. And, of course, at times it got very, very heated. But at the end, I think we were able to talk them through the Pentagon press pass scandal or whatever you want to call it. I mean, so many media outlets in the mainstream media are pretending like it was controversial. For me, someone who's broken more stories than them has now obtained press access. It's been long overdue, and obviously here on InfoWars, we have a larger audience than most of them do. So, of course, it's jealousy, it's hate, but it was good to set the record straight with those ladies, and although they may have not agreed on certain parts of my argument, at the end, it kind of landing in a very good place. So if you want to watch the full interview and the full discussion, I should say, it's over at Her Take. It's up right now on YouTube. So you can head on over there and give that a look. By the way, that's this podcast that's owned by Patrick Bet David. So it was great to be at Valuetainment and in their studios, of course. And who knows, maybe I'll be popping back in soon. But it was a great experience. And I hope you all head on over there to take a look. I also will play possibly later in the show another little snippet that I think is also really important for you all to see. So we'll do just that. All right. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because for a very, very limited time, we have methylene blue, which is buy one, get one free right now. Plus, you get a free hat. Now, this offer is going to expire in just a few hours, so you got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now and enjoy the benefits, of course, of methylene blue. Head on over to the shop and grab this, and it's time to do your Christmas shopping. Don't wait any longer over at the alexjonesstore.com. More up ahead.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the InfoWar. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale even though
it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
Welcome back to the American Journal. A lot going on here in the third hour of the program, and we're excited for you guys all to be joining us, of course. A lot happening all around the world, and we look forward to breaking that down for you, of course. I've got more headlines that we're going to be diving into in the third hour of the program, of course. I hinted it to you, and, you know, we had Dr. Dawn Buckingham joining us. By the way, she's a surgeon. She's obviously the Texas Land Commissioner as well. She is quite the impressive woman, I have to say, conservative woman, too. So it was incredible to have her here and to speak to her about a lot of breaking stuff that she's been working on and telling us. I mean, I haven't seen this gone public yet. We're going to make sure first, but I just learned that the land that was looking to be purchased here in Texas, right on the U.S.-Mexico border, according to her, was looking to be purchased by a Chinese individual, possibly the CCP. Again, we can't say that 100%, but again, if you want to operate and do business deals, your alliance is with the CCP. And they don't allow companies, individuals to not pledge their alliance to them. So that was incredible to hear, and how she prevented that by purchasing that land. So that is something incredible, of course. And I also did hint during our interview that we're going to play a clip, and we will do just that in just a few moments, in regards to a sex trafficking ring that was just broken up in Palm Beach County, Florida. We have the very latest there in regards to how children were being trafficked and being used, and it's heartbreaking. But, you know, we have to talk about these issues because not enough Americans understand what's going on here. And when you hear it's happening in Palm Beach County, which obviously is deeply, deeply concerned, it's President Trump's backyard. This is something that we need to bring attention to. So I will bring you the latest report in regards to that. Actually, it's also worth noting, too, that the local news stations there, I used to actually work over at the CBS 12 affiliate. They have done an incredible job at digging into this. And that's something to be very, very proud of when journalism is actually doing, journalists are doing real journalism and going out there and trying to save children and women who are being sex trafficked. That is something that we can, of course, celebrate. We'll also give you the latest on that ICE raid that took place in Georgia. Many of you guys probably remember it was a battery EV plant that was raided. It was one of the largest ICE raids, with Hyundai being the owner of that plant. Well, according to reports, those Koreans that were arrested are looking to sue. So that's the latest that we're hearing from. We'll give you the whole details behind that in a little bit as well. Plus, we will also be talking about how Germany is telling Syrians that it's time to pack up and get out of their country. That's what's going on. They also did this to Afghans as well. They have had enough. They want them out. And Germany is looking to ship them back. I'll bring you the details behind that, of course. Plus, I'm also going to play another clip for you of my time on Her Take. It's going to be a little bit briefer, of course, but it's my idea on how we push back on all the DEI nonsense that goes on within the workplace these days. Although corporations are saying that they are ending a lot of those DEI hiring practices and those race-guilting programs that they have internally, there's a lot that needs to happen here. I know the left is continuing to argue and say, oh, no, 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 we need these.
we need these. There's a plan that I have in place that would actually go around all of that and help applicants just be judged based off of their experience, what type of things they could bring forward to a company, rather than race and gender being an issue there. I outlined it for the ladies as well, and they all, for some reason, did come to an agreement, thought it was a great idea. So I'll talk about that in a little bit, too. So a lot going on that front. Plus, I'll bring you an update as well as Tish James's home, the one that's been called into question in Virginia. Well, there's more we're learning there. Apparently, a lot of criminals. A lot of criminals hang out over at Tish James' home, apparently. So I'll bring you the latest report on that. It's a lot happening. Don't go anywhere. We have more to discuss here on the American Journal. A lot to dig into. In the meantime, though, head on over, if you haven't done so already, to thealexjonesstore.com. A lot happening there in regards to so many incredible Christmas items that you could purchase. Folks, don't wait. And I won't generalize you men out there. Don't wait until the last minute, though, to get your Christmas gifts. Now is the time. You have to now buy your Christmas gifts, because I have done just that. I literally placed my order 2 days ago over at thealexjonesstore.com. My dad's going to get some gifts. Not going to tell him what, though, specifically. But you have to do the same. Do it now, so that you're not waiting to the very last minute and hoping that it arrives on time. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab yourself some gifts as well over thealexjonesstore.com. And in the meantime as well, if you haven't done so already, download the app, alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. All right, more to discuss in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. Because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people, the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com. And that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way, fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties, than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome to the third hour of the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. A lot going on in the third hour of the show. I've got more stories to catch you up on in case you missed it. The corporate media is never going to tell you about these stories. Plus, Mel Kay is going to be joining me, of course, for a great breakdown on all of the very latest we're learning about the Clinton Foundation and so much more. So you're going to want to say where you are now and make sure you listen in, because Mel's got a lot to break down for us, because she's been following all the corruption within the Clinton Foundation for literally years. So this is my go-to source when I want to ask her a question about just that. So she will be joining us too. All right, like I said, a lot going on in the world today. I want to play clip four for you because it's a local news station. Actually, I was a former producer over there, an associate producer over there at the CBS 12 affiliate in Palm Beach County. And they've been doing an incredible job at digging into the human trafficking issue going on there. Well, they just recently made a bust, and this one is a big one. Take a listen.
31-year-old Cynthia Socito Torres is charged with human trafficking, deriving support from prostitution, money laundering, child neglect, and keeping a house of ill fame. PBSO says multiple brothels in Palm Beach County and one in Fort Myers were run by Torres and some of her family members. And PBSO says minors were being exploited in those brothels. Our sources say Cynthia was an underling of Brenda Brito, one of the most notorious leaders in this organization. PBSO says as investigators were closing in on Brenda Brito, Cynthia fled to Mexico, leaving three minor children, ages 10, 12, and 17, unattended for approximately 4 months. If you've seen the iTeam's coverage of the brothel next door, you know that CBS 12 News and Espanol anchor Carlos Maecha and I have been trying to shine a light on the dark world of sex for sale in migrant communities. Business cards that advertise food are code for prostitution, and hardworking families are living in fear because their kids are playing mere steps away from sex den. And deadly shootings are commonplace.
All right, nobody should have to live in these conditions. Most importantly, when they say it's affecting immigration communities, let's be clear here. These are people who are being trafficked into this country or being taken advantage of by evil, evil people who are looking to exploit children and women, and this should not be allowed in this country. In fact, remember when President Trump was campaigning for this, obviously, second term, and he was trying to express to the American people that he was willing to sentence human traffickers when caught to the death penalty? Well, let's bring that back. Let's sentence these evil human beings to death because, folks, what they have done to these children will never recover from what they've experienced. Every single day being raped, that is the only way to describe it. We sit here and we say that it's sex trafficking, understand something, that these are not people who are voluntarily submitting themselves to this line of work. These are people who are being forced and held against their will and forced into just that. So it is great to see that local law enforcement has stepped in to help these children, these women out, but folks, this is happening all across the country, not just Palm Beach County. It's time for the rest of the country to wake up and start saving these children, saving these women, and holding those that are destroying their lives accountable. Let's turn to another story in regards to immigration, though. I want to talk about how Korean workers detained in a ICE raid that took place back in September. We told you about it on this show. They were detained over at the Georgia EV battery plant. Well, now they're looking to potentially file a class action lawsuit against ICE. That's according to ABC News. They announced that this potential lawsuit was taking place at the Hyundai dealership in Georgia. Approximately 200 workers, including an individual named Kim, allegedly were unlawfully detained. That's what they're claiming: racial profile, human rights violation, and excessive use of force. Now, we didn't see any of that when they were being detained, of course. But according to, so far, this reporting that we only have available right now, the Korean workers entered the United States on B-1 business visas as skilled technicians to train in an American power production company. Now, ICE obviously stormed the facility. Apparently, it was in really poor condition. President Trump's shockingly coming out and saying that he actually didn't support this raid. Hyundai being a big donor to President Trump, of course. And a big investor here in the United States, over $1 billion in investments since President Trump took the White House. And so it's really kind of shocking to hear the president say that he didn't support it. Because again, for all of us, we don't care. We want all illegals deported. But they're claiming that they were here on visas. Now, again, we're waiting to see the breakdown in all of this. But when I told you that the working conditions were really, really poor, the detention conditions, this is what they're saying right now. They're saying that they are suing because where they were being held was apparently with moldy mattresses, toilets weren't provided that were private. There was a foul smell in the drinking water that was provided to them. And one claims that the guard mocked one of the Asians as King Jong-un and then made a slanted eye gesture. Sounds like you don't want to live in America. Sounds like you don't want to be here when that's the type of things you have to deal with. So maybe it's probably for the best that we deported you. But here again, folks, this is what's going on right now. It's unfortunate ICE just doing its jobs and they're being accused of excessive force. I didn't see any in the footage, of course, though. But hopefully they have some evidence to back up those claims. And speaking about sending them back, Germany is looking to do just that. Their chancellor right now is out there trying to push to send back the Syrian refugees who were brought into Germany. Germany's now claiming the war is over, so it's time for them to go back. The challenge is, of course, is hard to force most of them because it's 1 million Syrians have left. Far-right party is how the media is describing them, of course, is the one advocating for them to be returned, saying that the new Syrian president is someone who they could live under. Now, again, this isn't the first time that Germany has done that. Recently, they've actually said that they're trying to orchestrate it for those Afghan refugees to be sent back to their country. Now, the Taliban has control. Government contacts have been trying to force the Taliban to take back these individuals. But again, human rights groups are saying that this is extremely dangerous. But I don't think Germany owes them anything. So we'll leave it at that for now. But it's good to see finally, people starting to stand up throughout the EU and say, to take them back. We don't want them here. They've obviously caused a lot of issues. There's a poor vetting process in Germany. And so we're continuing to see that unravel. All right. I had a big pitch. A lot of people on the left like to claim that they are discriminated upon minorities and women when they apply for jobs. So my pitch has always been, let's just take your name off applications. Let's now use systems where you get an ID number and your resume is identified through an ID number. You could track it. You could see what process you're in. We have the technology to do this. So for those of you who don't want or who claim that race is a real issue in regards to promotions, in regards to applying for a job, just take off the person's name, give them an ID. Let's just line up your experience and your educational background when looking for jobs. This was something that I pitched over on Her Take earlier this week, or I should say last week, and it just aired yesterday. But folks, I want you to listen because it was quite interesting making this pitch to this group of ladies who, as many of you guys know, are not on the conservative side of things. Take a listen to clip 5 in their reaction to my pitch.
The DEI angle to this, I know there's a lot of people out there claiming that they're firing individuals and they're also getting rid of...
I'm not sure if that's true. I'm just saying that.
I've seen the videos and they're... So there were so many people when we started this whole DEI movement who were passed up on jobs, specifically white men, and when they were able to bring other people in. I never thought that was okay because that was obviously discrimination, but nobody ever argued. Instead of us knowing about who you are, what your race is, let's just hand over our resumes without any names on it and have an ID number on it.
I love that idea.
They never argued for that.
I think that's so smart. Absolutely. I don't think anyone should be hired based on their ethnicity, their religion, their race. Mm-hmm. I think we need to have like blind hiring, like the way that you just described. Because look, journalism is really important for a functioning democracy and you need actual seasoned journalists who know how to do the job, who actually want to hold true or speak truth to power, right? And report the facts as they are, not, you know, make the facts or twist the facts in a direction that's favorable to their own political view.
And that's why I'm so happy that President Trump has revived the idea of a meritocracy, you know? And I think, frankly, a lot of the people who are hurt the most by affirmative action are the black and brown people who got there. Because of the strength of their own resume. Because now everyone's looking at them askance saying, oh, do you actually deserve that position? But they know they earned that place.
So yeah, I think it was a great discussion that we had on Her Take. You can head on over to YouTube later in the day and take a listen to the full 1 hour discussion that I had when I was away. As many of you guys know, last Monday I wasn't in this chair and this is the reason why. So if you'd like to give it a listen, make sure to do just that. All right, let's talk about Senator John Fetterman, because he's actually pushing back on the so-called ladies of The View. They are actually just a conglomerate of just hateful people, but John Fetterman has had enough. And obviously, as you know, he is someone who was supposed to be a Democrat, but apparently he's now siding with the side of logic. And he doesn't sound like a Democrat these days, but he's pushing back when The View hosts decide to try to unleash an attack on him. Take a listen on how that went in clip 6.
It was a horrific mistake. Governor Gavin Newsom called it pathetic and a surrender. Poll after poll found more Americans on both sides of the aisle blaming Republicans. Even Marjorie Taylor Greene blamed the GOP. As you mentioned, Democrats had big wins last week, so you had momentum. Why give in now? Why bring a butter knife to a gunfight? Are you willing to gamble that the GOP will negotiate on health care in good faith once the government reopens? Because if that gamble is wrong, 500,000 Pennsylvanians that you represent, their health care costs will skyrocket if you are wrong. And I believe you are wrong.
Well, first of all, you know, MTG is quite literally the last person in America that I'm going to take advice or to get their kinds of my leadership and values from. And now if Democrats are celebrating crazy pants like that, then that's on them. And now I don't need a lecture from whether it's Bernie or the governor in California, because they are representing very deep blue kinds of populations. And a lot of those things were part of the extreme. And now remember, what really needs to win, the big win, is involving my state and other states in those things. And why have we arrived here after the election a year ago? We got to forget some of the things that cost us that election, or now for me, it's like, That's why I'm trying to remind people that kinds of the extremism, we can't return to those kind of a things and realize we need to find a way forward. And I would like to, rather than cite MTG, I'm going to cite one of the new governor-elects saying that my election is not a green light to continue the shutdown, because I promise you, this isn't a political game. It is viewed by that by many of us. But the reality is 42 million Americans now not sure where their next meal is going to come from. And because we vote like that, or people that haven't been paid for 5 weeks now and that kinds of chaos, those workers have to borrow more than $500 million, you know, from their credit union just to pay their bills now. So for me, we're in the middle of this.
Senator, I got to ask you to hold up.
Oh, man. Don't they hate it when the facts come their way? Listen, they're not happy that Fetterman is starting to make sense these days. And here he is, trying to hold them accountable. All of a sudden now they like to quote Marjorie Taylor Greene Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she is someone who they now could say, oh, look, she even sides with us. No one sides with you. This was Chuck Schumer's shutdown. And it's good to see Fetterman on the better side of all of this, of course. All right, let's turn to something else. We'll talk about the FBI director, Mr. Cash Patel. He's under a lot of fire these days. Many of you guys know. We try to play it fair. We give you both sides of an argument. I've been trying to do just that. Obviously, we talked about it earlier in the show, the report that came out from the Blaze. But there's more coming their way in regards to criticism. I'm going to talk about the FBI director himself. He's facing backlash because a lot of people are upset at how he is using the Bureau's jets. Now, it's happening on a lot of personal trips. We obviously know just that because Kyle Serafin, the FBI whistleblower, has detailed allegations that he has outlined in regards to that jet being used. Now, although it's not unlawful, it's important to note that Cash Patel himself, prior to taking on this position, was very critical of FBI Director Christopher Wray in regards to how he used the jet. So, if we're holding each other to the same set of standards, then yes, there is every reason to criticize Cash Patel and his use of that jet. And listen, okay, I was the one who supported Cash Patel, but man, oh man, has he really just gone off the cliff. He has not done what the American people wanted him to do thus far. And just sitting back and watching him get involved in just catty disputes, trying to defend his actions of misusing a jet for personal issues to go fly around to see his girlfriend. Listen, folks, we don't need to hear from him on that front. We don't need him doing this. He should be super busy where he doesn't even have time to attend his girlfriend singing the national anthem at an event. The rest of us who can't afford to be present with our loved ones when they go and they travel abroad to perform, whatever it might be, guess what? We watch on Zoom. We watch online. But yes, he's using the private jet for personal reasons. And obviously the mainstream media, Daily Beast, are jumping on that to criticize him. But again, this is fair game. He's not being targeted because he's a conservative. I want to drive this point home because, folks, when he was not not the FBI director, he had no problem punching at Christopher Wray on Betty Johnson's show. I remember that interview when he went after Wray for using the jet. So don't sit here and try to get empathy points that the mainstream media is going after you, because that's not the case. They are being fair in regards to standards you yourself set. And I get it that the deputy director as well isn't going to like this. But folks, if he was sitting in this chair right now, is continuing his podcast, he'd probably have some meaner things to throw out there. You see, those who are leading the FBI right now and who I would have dealt as possibly friends of just not only me, but my other friends too as well, conservative influencers, conservative reporters. We all know what's going on right now. We're not happy about it. Very few are willing to speak out though, because they don't want to burn those relationships. But I sit in this chair and respectfully criticize those who have earned it. Right now, the FBI is not doing what we should expect them to do. And we only have a limited time here. So we need all hands on deck for this, but it's unfortunate to see again these allegations coming about that he's flying all around, and he apparently is doing these hunting trips in Texas owned by a GOP donor. Now, it's important to note that there is something to call out here. So the FBI itself, there is a, and I highly respect the Assistant Director for Public Affairs, Mr. Ben Williamson. Now, he's claiming the latest report in the Wall Street Journal, which outlines the misuse of the jet, is being dishonest, and it leaves out key quotes that apparently were provided by the Deputy Attorney General, Todd Blanche, and AG Pam Bondi as well. Pam Bondi tweeting about it earlier. But again, they're saying that the Wall Street Journal, which is owned again, let me highlight this. It's owned by Fox Corp. So if Pam Bondi or Todd Blanche have a problem with it, or Cash Patel, guess what? Maybe you should stop doing your hits every single night on Fox News. Don't like the coverage? Well, stop supporting the machine. They won't. But let's go back to the real thing here. So the comms team over at the FBI is saying that they left out these quotes, which Todd Blanche says his report is flat out false. The attorney general and I have worked shoulder to shoulder with the director every step of the way. An anonymous coward's spreading lies to divide this department insults the men and women of law enforcement who risk their lives to keep this country safe. Okay, so I've heard of the disputes, the internal disputes by people within the FBI and DOJ that are going on right now. And so I don't think it's a total lie. The specific details here, yeah, I mean, there definitely is some friction. I know those in the FBI feel like, according to the people I've spoken to, that the FBI is doing their part and it's falling flat over at the DOJ. So again, not 100% false from what I've heard. But I also want to drive home this point that it's an unacceptable for a media outlet like the Wall Street Journal to leave out comments like this if it's true. If Todd Blanche's team did hand over this quote, yes, the Wall Street Journal should have included it, as well as Pam Bondi. Listen, I constantly do this. If I'm about to run a story, I will include quotes from those who I am accusing things of in it, even if they're telling me that what I'm saying is a lie. I will put it in there because that is exactly what journalism is supposed to be. I know a lot of people on X or sounding off because I included in a full quote of what the FBI was saying in regards to the J6 pipe bomber. Oh, Brianna, don't push this. This is a lie. Why would you promote this? Because it is your job as a journalist to be balanced and to show both sides. If someone gives me a comment, I'm going to share you the full comment. I am not a loser who sits there and manipulates statements to benefit my narrative on a story. If I truly believe that my story is authentic and is backed by facts, I don't mind including what the other side is saying about it. You know, I accused TSA of not doing enough to secure those who were flying back, the deportees on these, you know, mass deportation flights back to their countries. They were telling, you know, federal air marshals to not bring their weapons on board. I broke that story exclusively. Guess what? TSA debunked my story. They tried to, at least. I know for a fact that it was happening. By providing me with a statement that completely says that my report was not accurate, but they also wouldn't comment on whether they were able to carry on those flights. Now, again, I saw the email, still have that email. And so I know that they were not being truthful, but guess what? I included their report anyway, their comments anyway. So shame on the Wall Street Journal for not doing just that. You should include everyone's side to it. If you're strong, if your report's strong enough to stand on its own, it will. It will. And keep in mind, whenever somebody from the White House puts out a statement or responds, that's their perspective. It doesn't mean it's truthful. Just this is what they're defending themselves with. So again, I know a lot of people are out here and saying, oh, they debunked it. They said it wasn't true. It doesn't always mean that it's not true. I want to play a clip yesterday. We had Stuart Rhodes in studio yesterday. He's bringing back the Oath Keepers. In clip 8, he details just that. Take a listen. You know, obviously, right, when you serve this great nation, you take an oath,
right,
to do just that. And this is something that you have obviously been very passionate about as, right, the founder of the Oath Keepers.
To defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, was the oath that I took as a paratrooper. Same oath that police officers take across the country. It's the same oath. And the founders, in their wisdom, put that in the Constitution itself in Article 6, a requirement that everyone must swear that oath.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. Yesterday, we actually had a caller call into the show, Savage Dog. He's an often caller, right, to this program, and he was saying how important it is for those who have taken the oath to create groups and to militant groups and try to protect the American people, because right now we are dealing with a massive, massive threat.
Yes.
Obviously, you are someone who is well-versed in all of this.
Right.
What's your takeaway from that?
No, absolutely. I think what Sarah Adams was talking about it.
Yeah.
You've got multiple people that are experts on terrorism talking about the upcoming attack that's going to happen inside the United States, an October 7th style attack or Mumbai style terror attack inside the United States. It is coming. And General Flynn talked about that yesterday with Alex. He thinks within the next 90 days, I think he's probably right. So it's one reason why I'm re-energizing and restarting Oath Keepers is that we have a duty in this country to remind everyone that took the oath of that core responsibility to honor the oath, but also to get back to the business of preparing Americans for what's coming. So down at the very grassroots level, I think it's high time that all the veterans come together And then all the other men in the community, too. All men are responsible to be protectors. And so, you know, no one gets a pass because you're no longer serving. You're still on the hook. Your oath doesn't expire until you...
Well, good to hear from Rhodes there, folks. If you want to watch the full interview, of course, it's up on Rumble right now. We've placed it there for you. But if you'd like to help Stewart's efforts, as many of you guys know, he was held as a political prisoner and was sentenced to 18 years in prison, so he could use all the financial backing that you guys could give. Head on over right now to his GiveSendGo page. It's givesendgo.com/oath. That's givesendgo.com/oath. And if you're looking for more information, go to oathkeepers.info. That's oathkeepers.info as well for more information on that. All right, we got more to discuss with Mel Kay in just a moment, so do not go anywhere. There's more American Journal on the way.
Cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order, not just a methylene blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexjonesstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the methylene blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives, not just have a nice hat and spread the word and meet my people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts. And I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalist, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftist out of control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and never tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack. So you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there. But when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free methylene blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight, Central Time, at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League. That hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat, thanks to your support. You kept us afloat through it. But has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at theAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited to have you back. Third hour, final lap of the show today. A lot underway, a lot going on today. We're excited that you're joining us again. Of course, Mel Kay joining me in just a second. And she's got a lot to sound off on. I wanted to bring you a little bit of an update in regards to the accountability tour. Looks like things are starting to heat up a little bit in the Southern District of Florida. We're seeing reports that there are many liberals who have, you know, kind of like buried their way into that office that are very upset because, of course, President Trump is now looking to hold those accountable who participated in the corrupt Russia hoax. Those who actually went and targeted his 2016 presidential campaign specifically. This is according to the New York Times, so we tread lightly here, of course. But according to them, the Trump-appointed federal prosecutor there has begun to launch their probe into the theory that we know is true, that Barack Obama tried his very best to go after President Trump and to try to stop his political aspirations to become president of the United States. Now we're now learning that there has been apparently, according to reports, 30 subpoenas being sent around to Obama officials involved in that 2016 campaign attack, we could say. A lot of those individuals who are being called into question here and who now have subpoenas heading their way are people like ex-director of National Intelligence James Clapper, the former FBI agent Peter Strzok, and his lover, ex-FBI lawyer Lisa Page. They are all apparently being called into question here. And so we're learning more and more about this. Now, yesterday we also reported that MSNBC is claiming that two federal prosecutors over in that office quit because they weren't happy about the accountability tour making its way to their office. So they resigned, according to MSNBC. And you know what? Tough luck. Joining me now to discuss is my girl, Mel Kay, host of The Mel Kay Show. And she's also got a great book up on Amazon. I highly recommend you all head on over there to grab. Americans Anonymous up for sale right now. And it puts the power in your hands, of course, because don't expect the federal government to save you anytime soon. Mel Kay, thank you for joining me. It's an honor, of course, to have you on the show, as always. All right, so we're hearing only for the New York Times and MSNBC. So I always say tread lightly here. But there are people in their offices, in the DOJ specifically, who are still obviously leaking to the media because they are like-minded. And so they are saying that their the accountability tour is now going to be landing at Barack Obama's feet, hopefully soon. What's your reaction to learning what's happening in the Southern District of Florida?
Well, first we have to understand that when Eric Holder and Obama came into office, they cleaned out the DOJ of anyone that wasn't ideologically aligned with them. And that includes a lot of the people that went into different states as well. So we have to first and foremost understand that there are a lot of people that were complicit, maybe not directly, but certainly knew what was going on from 2016 forward. So anyone resigning should just be a win, honestly, for justice, because they've sat on a lot of information for decades. And now, of course, they are pulling out a fraudulent idea that Donald Trump is implicated in the Jeffrey Epstein case, because they don't want you to look at what's really going on, is that sedition and treason were committed in this country against we the people of the United States from 2016 to this day. It has been continuing, the same people, the same cover up. And frankly, if they don't start going after the lawfare crew, they better understand Norm Eisen and his friends have already written impeachment page papers for 2026 because they believe that they will get back in. So they really do need to speed up getting to the heart and the core of what happened from 2016 to this day. And who was involved at the top level.
Yeah, and we're constantly hearing about these reports that there are some movements happening in very strategic areas, obviously, this being the Southern District of Florida, which is right by Mar-a-Lago, so that would make sense there. But they seem to be understanding the fact that they can't have these in D.C. at all. They need to move these at different locations. So we're hearing about this. We also, earlier today, we're talking about how Adam Schiff is possibly going to get indicted any day now, that Democrats are mentally and physically preparing for that to happen and that to unravel. Do you think, are you seeing glimpses that the accountability tour is going to go full launch mode and go after these key players who have tried their very best to push this Russia hoax?
I think they will, but I think we have to be honest about our country, and I'm talking about we the people. Treason and sedition and grand conspiracy and all of this stuff is really cover up for a lot of decades of crimes, particularly by the Clintons. It is amazing to me how many times people have jumped through hoops to protect the Clintons, starting with Comey and Page and Strzok and all of them back in 2016 when it was found out inside by Obama and his people that Hillary Clinton was paying, along with partners at Soros, Open Society, and other places for a foreign government officials from MI6, Christopher Steele, Dear Love, all these people, to coordinate a campaign to take down Donald Trump and connect him to Russia because they didn't want to deal with the real problem, which was Hillary Clinton's emails, Hillary Clinton's private server, and decades of criminality, particularly while she was the sitting Secretary of State and pay for play. She was doing huge deals with foreign countries selling weapons. At the same time, the Clinton Foundation was being poured in with billions of dollars to make sure that when she became president, which of course everyone must understand, until the day of the election, everyone, including James Comey, believed Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president. So they are putting money into her foundation while she's selling weapons on her way to be the next president. Everything is so dirty to the bottom. And frankly, the biggest thing that we should be asking right now about all of this is, where is the Anthony Weiner laptop with all of the emails? Where are the rest of these things? So today, of course, they're distracting about an email where Trump wasn't even involved. It was the horrible Wolf guy that has been, you know, I guess, pushing this whole idea that Donald Trump is implicated in the Jeffrey Epstein case. He is not. But who is implicated is Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, particularly Bill Clinton and many other people that surrounded him. And they did not show up last week for their depositions and their questioning about the Epstein relationship for decades, including that Jeffrey Epstein, under oath, said that he created the Clinton Foundation as a partner of Bill and Hillary Clinton way back when, in the 90s. So everything that's going on right now in mainstream media is to distract from what is really important here, which is that we have decades of criminality, we have the evidence, and we need to go after them. In the meantime, I believe that treason and sedition should actually be tried by the military rather than by civilian courts. I believe that these are crimes against the people of the United States that go to the level of military tribunals. And frankly, I would like to see that. I do know that 600 JAG attorneys were called in to help, they said, for illegal immigration, but that doesn't make much sense to me. And I do hope that they go for the treason and sedition and try to prove that, because I believe there is proof of that all the way up to Barack Obama.
Yeah, so let's touch upon that JAG attorneys side of all this, because that was set to be the expansion of the immigration courts, was how they were pushing it over at the Department of War, and that was going to help alleviate and try to carry through with these mass deportations. As many Americans know, the immigration courts itself are overwhelmed. So you don't think that they're going to be utilized for that alone? Is that what you're referring to?
I think they'll be utilized for both, but I think the American people that understand what happened to our country, and it was it's nothing to do with Donald Trump, is the first thing people have to get through their heads. That is a psyop. What it has to do with is a group of establishment elite candidates and people that surround the Clintons and the Obamas do not want the American people to have a voice or a vote when it comes to who's running this country. And they will do anything they can do to stay on track with their, decades long grift of the American people through NGOs they call civil society and USAID and the CIA operations all over that are connected to a rogue State Department. We are dealing with a serious case, I believe, of sedition and treason, and even bigger, a conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America. The crime is not against Trump. It is against the people of this nation. And that is where the problem lies. They have done such a good job with their Goebbels-level mind control and manipulation since 2016 that people on the left, they hear Trump, and it's like a Manchurian candidate trigger, and they go nuts, and they don't even understand. Trump is just the front man. The truth is that these people want one party rule, and that one party is ideologically aligned with the globalist, Marxist, communist, technocratic, totalitarian plans of Agenda 2030. Barack Obama signed us on to that. Trillions of dollars are invested in that happening. And Donald Trump, the first time, tried to dismantle it. He wanted to normalize relations with Russia. They were already planning for the Ukraine war from the 90s. They were arming Ukraine. They threw over the government there. Trump comes in. They can't let him go in. Again, remember, this was a global conspiracy against the people of the United States of America to not allow us to vote for the person that we wanted in office in 2016. And then everything after that became a cover-up. And frankly, Barack Obama and Holder and all of them, Clapper, Brennan, they were spying on the American people, starting with the Tea Party and the IRS. Then they spied on the American people for 2 years through the NSA. Then they got caught, and then they saw the Hillary Clinton dirty trick. They picked it up and used it for 2 years of the Mueller-Weissman fake cover-up of Crossfire Hurricane. $100 million of taxpayer money to investigate something they knew wasn't true, just to keep the Russiagate hoax going, just to keep not allowing Donald Trump to do a foreign policy that would lead in a different direction than they had already banked on and paid for. And then they do the Ukraine impeachment for the same reason. And now we're at a place where World War III is being stopped, in my opinion, by Donald Trump and sane people. But believe me, this is not what they want. They already had these plans in place since the 90s when George Soros wrote the NATO World Order, and then 2 years later, his acolyte, Bill Clinton, starts expanding NATO, and all of this surrounds decades of getting to a place where they could consolidate after one more world war. I know it's hard to believe this, but Donald Trump was not the victim here only. The United States of America, and frankly the world, was taken advantage of, lied to, and led to where we are now by this group of people, and they need to be held accountable.
Yeah, they need to be held accountable. And Mel, before you go, because I know you have a show that you have to do in just a few moments, but I wanted to get your take. You know, we're hearing about all these reports about charges being filed or all this evidence that's coming about now, learning more and more that it's all of a sudden these burn bags, and now they're finding more stuff in the Clinton Foundation. But this is coming through leaks, through like places like Just the News, and it's not coming directly from our DOJ. What are your thoughts on all of this? Because again, the most important information also, it's worth noting, it's coming from Chuck Grassley's office, not the Department of Justice.
Right. Chuck Grassley has been on top of this from the beginning, all the way back to Jeff Sessions and that debacle. The bottom line here is that until we start seeing some of the actual lawfare people and the money that funds this, you know, I don't understand why there have not been raids and indictments that I know of on Act Blue, the Open Society, Brookings, the Atlanta Council. All of these people conspired with the Obama administration and the Hillary Clinton team to defraud the people of the United States of America of our voice and our vote in 2016. And everything since has been a cover-up for them. This goes all the way up absolutely to Obama, but we have to remember they coordinated with the UK, with MI6, with Gina Haspel and Brennan. Brennan obviously the head of the CIA under Obama, Gina Haspel, wielding the CIA in the UK. This was a joint operation of the Five Eyes to stop Donald Trump from taking a different foreign policy tact and going in a different direction than the Project for New American Century. So the levels to which the criminality here are obvious and clear are beyond the scope, I believe, of civilian court. That's why I think the military tribunal is the only way to go after particularly Brennan, Obama, Clapper, Comey, the Clintons. These people committed something on this nation that I don't believe has ever happened. And yet that is why they are distracting right now with the fraud scam that Epstein and Trump are connected. They're not. You're going to hear a lot of that BS this week. And again, just remember, there's plenty of evidence, not just that. You know, it appears to me that Barack Obama and his friends ran a foreign policy in tandem to Donald Trump during between 2016 and 2020, acting as if Trump wasn't there through Anthony Blinken's West exec advisors, which should also be investigated. So what we are talking about here is a grand conspiracy against the people of the United States. And I think we should be demanding a sedition and treason be the charges here on the next level, which would be military. I mean, that's my thoughts. And I don't know what the military courts are doing. I do know JAG officers were called in. You're right. They did say that that was about immigration. But I also believe that a lot of those people can be used in the biggest conspiracy and defrauding of this nation, in our lifetimes at least.
Well, Mel, we all hope that's the case, because at this point we're looking for accountability and we have a very limited window, and now is the time to move on this stuff. It's, unfortunately, though, it looks like they're running the clock out over at the DOJ, but we'll keep our eyes on that, yeah. Of course. Mel, thanks for jumping on with us today. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give her a follow on X. Mel Kay Show is where you could find her. You could also find her on Rumble, The Mel Kay Show. And then you could also go purchase her book on Amazon as well. If you're looking to maybe feel more empowered, because at the federal level, we really just don't have much in the way of hope. But this is how you could locally get involved. It's called Americans Anonymous. Head on over to Amazon and make sure you snag yourself a copy of this book. Mel Kay, as always, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, folks, I want to turn to something else because there's a lot happening in the rare earth minerals world, and I know they used to always tell me at Fox, this is a boring, boring subject matter, but it is an important one because we all strongly rely on it. But as we outlined with Dr. Buckingham, who was just here a few moments ago, the Chinese are trying to get their grips on this. And Natalie Winters, who I think is by far one of the most intelligent females we have in this space, is outlining exactly how your taxpayer money has been utilized to help China advance in this race for rare earth minerals. And she did just that recently in one of her Substack pieces, but she also outlined it earlier on Bannon's War Room. I'm going to take a listen to clip 9 and the very latest that she's breaking down for the audience. Take a listen.
I uncovered several studies and research into rare earths being done essentially at China's top lab, their kind of state key laboratory for what they call rare earth materials and chemistry. It was founded by China's sort of grandfather of all their rare earth tech. It's this laboratory that has allowed them to really consolidate, monopolize, and ultimately weaponize so much of the global rare earth supply, but also the refinement capabilities of it. It's super granular research. If I read you the titles of the papers, my eyes would bug out, and I'm sure yours would too, so you can read it on there. They're showing the article on the screen. But the Department of Energy, the National Science Foundation, and even the Office of Naval Research and the Naval Research Laboratory have been sending our tax dollars to research that is being concurrently conducted between American researchers and their counterparts at this Chinese Communist Party-run laboratory that is really a central node in their efforts to shore up these resources. And in reading through some of these papers, I actually found active, you know, Energy Department money going to studies that are listed as part of the 100 Talents Program, which not only have we seen several indictments and espionage cases come from that, but on face value, even the most euphemistic description of it by the Chinese Communist Party, it's to steal high-value technology from the West, particularly from the United States. And I just think this story is such a wonderful yet just ominous and scary metaphor for what we have subsidized, our own demise, right? Like the Chinese Communist Party says, it's strangling us with our own systems.
We continue to hear just that. Now, this is obviously alarming in itself because, folks, our federal government is the one that's responsible for helping them do just that, but we are doing our very best to keep exposing it. Natalie Winters is also one of the key players in doing just that. So it's good here on that front. Again, here in Texas, we're pushing back. We apparently have an abundance of rare earth minerals, and we hope that we could start utilizing American rare earth minerals rather than relying strongly on the CCP, of course. I want to turn to something else because this one was pretty funny. China, a Chinese company, Lanvi Bioscience, is apparently claiming that they could help people live until they're about 150 years old. They're trying to increase and extend the human lifespan. And they're claiming that this is very realistic. Their CEO is saying that this is not just one more pill. This is the holy grail is how they are trying to describe this. They are claiming that this will help reduce age-related conditions and that it's done so in labs, tests with animals as well. And then it kills a zombie cell, whatever that means. And they're saying that that's what it's going to help do. It's going to help people live till they're 150 years old. And it is an anti-aging. It's different from most anti-aging things, but obviously this is going to help people not age as rapidly. This is probably perfect timing, though, given the fact that we have a White House pushing potentially 50-year mortgages, they say. So it's perfect, right? You'll live long enough to pay it off, which is exciting news if you're taking this CCP-likely push new anti-aging, whatever. I mean, guys, I don't even know. I can't even make this stuff up anymore. I just roll my eyes every day. Speaking of rolling my eyes, there was an interesting video that was circulating on Fox the other day, and I figured we'd share it with you. It's a man just, you know, casually riding a bull in a parking lot. Police obviously were called to the scene in clip 10, and they had quite the field day with it. Take a listen.
I'm out with the subject with his bull on in the Tractor Supply parking lot.
You are absolutely good.
Yes, sir.
I have so many questions.
I got all the answers.
What? This is Gus.
This is Gus.
Gus is famous.
He's a Brahma bull.
Can I pet Gus?
Absolutely. You can get on Gus if you want to.
I think I'm all right right now. If I get on Gus and I fall off Gus, then I'm going to get in trouble.
I'll even give you a little boost.
Oh.
One, two, three.
Oh, dude, what in the world? Yeah, here, you take a picture on my phone. Oh, let's hope I don't get yelled at.
Ah, well, obviously that was a very eventful thing. He probably didn't realize his body camera was rolling, but obviously it's a laughing moment. Again, I've never seen one of those before, but it's an interesting thing to spot at your local supply store. Let's turn to something else. Let's talk about the United Kingdom, because apparently they're, according to CNN, they are no longer sharing intelligence with the United States in regards to suspected drug trafficking vessels in the Caribbean, saying that they do not want to be complicit to the U.S. military strikes and believe that the attacks are actually illegal. That's according to a source or sources speaking to CNN. The U.K.'s decision marks a significant break from its closest allies, our closest allies, in regards to sharing intelligence information. So they are claiming that they are not doing so because they do not like the fact that we are blowing up vessels, obviously, that the White House is claiming is making its way to the United States, and it apparently has drugs on there. They're not happy about that, and they are apparently going to no longer be sharing intel with us. Now, I'll be reaching out to Pentagon for a comment on that, of course. But again, this is questionable, and we've obviously shared a lot of those concerns, whether or not the vessels are 100% confirmed. Obviously, so far, every vessel that's been hit, we have not heard allegations that the Department of War miscalculated or misstaffed or may have targeted someone innocently who was just, you know, possibly fishing. Again, we haven't heard anything like that. So far, it looks like the Department of War has been 100% accurate in these strikes, but again, something to really pay attention to, because you don't really 100% know until you see the aftermath. And so far, they've been very transparent about it, unclassifying this immediately after it takes place and showing it to the American people. But it's only what they're allowing us to see. So I understand the concern there, because, again, this is when they're unclassifying it and giving it to us, the American people, not telling us, though. They might not tell us if there is classified vessels that are being hit. So again, we'll continue to reach out. As many of you guys know, I've got credentials now to cover the Pentagon. Those are the kind of questions we're going to ask. It's a fair question to ask, of course. I'm also still waiting to hear back from the Pentagon in regards to that Vegas cyber truck explosion. Many of you guys recall that happened on New Year's Day outside of the Vegas Trump Hotel. The cyber truck was filled with explosives. There was a veteran inside who sadly took his own life, and it exploded. Well, that manifesto, according to New York Post, was classified, and we don't have access to his manifesto. And that's deeply, deeply concerning, given the reporting that was done by Sean Ryan about the individual who was in that vehicle. I have asked the Pentagon for comment regarding as to why they classified the manifesto. They told me they'd get back to me. I followed up again this morning on that front. So when I learn as to why that took place, or if I don't hear back, I will let you all know. That's what we do. We keep you in the know. All right, folks. That does it for the American Journal and the Wednesday edition, I should say. We'll be back, obviously, tomorrow, of course. And I've already got a lineup of incredible guests that will be joining the program. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. It's right now, for a very limited time, we only have a couple hours left to do that BOGO deal on methylene blue. Head on over there. It's buy one, get one free. Plus, you also get a free InfoWars hat as well whenever you purchase a supplement over at the shop right now. So head on over. This will only last a few more hours, so make sure you do not procrastinate and push this off on the side. And it's a great time to get ahead of your Christmas shopping as well. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. and rack up your Christmas gifts and savings right this very second. I know I've got my dad's gift coming in the mail. We just placed that order, and I look forward to giving him his gift. So make sure you all do the same, of course. And also, if you haven't done so already, head on over and download the app. You can do so at the Alex Jones app, alexjonesapp.com. Folks, that's it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next. Don't go anywhere.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the info war. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air, because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight!